awesome morning party.
Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Well, it's Friday.
It's so good. It's so good.
It's Friday.
It's okay. We needed it to happen again for continuity reasons.
Ah, got you.
That's what it was.
It's like when Wolverine went back
right
from the future to the past in the days.
Days of the future past.
For the Sentinels.
In fact, every time we come back from a break, we're going to do today's intro.
It's St. Elmo's Friday. You just want to hear it every single time because why not?
Yeah.
Because it's St. Elmo's Friday. You ready to do some breaking news?
Yes, I am.
Let's do it.
Turn on the news.
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
Okie doke. There we go. Guys, it's 6:30. It's time
Welcome.
For breaking news. Today is the 20th of February, 2015. Wait, in 2020, today will be 2-20-2020.
0-2-2-0-2-0-2-0-2-0-2-0-2-0.
Whoa.
Whoa.
T-O. A football player.
Yeah. Was.
Was. Not anymore.
No. Yeah.
Definitely not anymore, Doug.
Yeah.
I wish you knew that.
He was number two on the all-time NFL Network's touchdown celebrations guy.
I wish you would just have more knowledge, Doug.
I thought it was pretty poetic that T.O. was number two on the all-time touchdown celebrations list.
Nice.
Because T.O. spells two.
Yeah,
right?
Number two.
Just...
It means also. Nope.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the news. Guys, yesterday we talked about that crazy superbug, the CRE. Let's say you do to go in for a medical procedure.
Oh,
let's,
no.
Let's do a little scenario.
Oh, okay.
A little role play here. Steve-O, you're due to go in for a little procedure.
Yeah.
Normal.
The black lung pop.
But after what happened at UCLA Hospital, you're a little apprehensive.
Right.
Do you know what happened?
No.
Two patients died at the Ronald Reagan UCLA Medical Center in a superbug CRE outbreak caused by two medical scopes that still carried the bacteria even after they were disinfected.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. In addition to the two victims, seven hospital patients were infected with the deadly superbug between October and January. The medical center has contacted 179 other people who had endoscopic procedures between October and January and is offering them home tests to screen for this crazy deadly bacteria.
Wow.
The superbug, I cannot pronounce its name, but it's abbreviated CRE, can kill up to half the patients who contract them, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says. So, should you cancel your procedure? CNN has given us some tips.
Ah.
This is what you need to know.
Right.
What type of equipment causes these horrible infections? They're called duodenoscopes.
Oh.
Duodenum.
Duodenoscope?
My duodenum broke. My duodenum's acting up.
Duodenoscopes.
Okay.
The UCLA hospital was using a duodenoscope made by Olympus Corporation of the Americas, but the FDA is also reviewing data from two other U.S. companies that make the devices, Fujifilm USA and Pentax Medical.
What are those even used for?
Duodenoscopes are most commonly used for procedures on the gallbladder, pancreatic ducts, and the bile ducts, which are a series of thin tubes that reach from the liver to the small intestine.
Okay, good. I was checking the black lung, so I think I'm okay.
All right. I'm scheduled to get a colonoscopy soon.
Oof.
Should I be worried? No.
Oh, okay,
Duodenoscopes are not used for colonoscopy.
Oh, thank you, CNN.
Yes. How common are these infections and why do they happen? More than 500,000 duodenoscope procedures are done every year in the United States, and there have been fewer than 100 known cases of transmission of the CRE bacteria. So it's a very tiny amount of people, okay? I'm going to say it again. More than 500,000 procedures with duodenoscopes, 500,000, more than 500,000, there have been less than 100 known cases.
That would still suck.
That, yeah, but I'm just saying it's small
rare.
Percentage.
Yeah.
Tiny percentage.
Yeah.
Okay?
I'd feel better if it was like 3 people. 100
well, yeah,
is still,
we,
you know.
We'd feel better if it was 0 people.
Yeah,
and we weren't
true.
Even talking
that's
about
true.
This.
Yeah. That's
but 100, that's still, that's, we don't have to go on Facebook and say we're all going to die just yet.
Yeah.
This is not Walking Dead. The problem is this. A part of the scope called the elevator can be tough to clean because it has many small moving parts. According to the FDA, the cleaning instructions that come with duodenoscopes say to brush the elevator area, but that might not be enough. The moving parts of the elevator mechanism contain microscopic crevices that may not be reached with a brush. Residual body fluids and organic debris may remain in these crevices after cleaning and disinfection. If these fluids contain microbial contamination, subsequent patients may be exposed to serious infections.
Gosh.
Somebody needs to invent a new thing.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
Yeah, no.
Number four. Yeah. I'm supposed to have a procedure with a duodenoscope. Should I cancel it? No.
Oh.
A procedure with a duodenoscope can be life-saving. It can remove gallstones, for example, or insert a stent into a blocked bile duct. If you need it, you need it.
Oh, wow.
You just got to go for it.
Gosh.
Number five. Okay, my doctor says I need it, so how do I make sure I'm safe? Remind your doctor that following the manufacturer's cleaning instructions on a duodenoscope might not be enough. I'm sure doctors are stoked.
I was just about to say.
Every WebMD doctor is going to come in going,
yeah.
I'm telling you to turn the music down. Hello?
Hello. Are you ready for your procedure today?
Yeah. We're using a duodenoscope, right?
It's pronounced duodenoscope.
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 Cool. Yeah, you know, as a medical doctor,
yes,
that you haven't done a good
years.
Enough job cleaning that thing, right?
Oh.
WebMD tells me that you got to clean this thing because of the elevator in it.
Okay.
And if you don't clean the elevator, then I'm going to go straight down the shaft into hell. Because if you give me this CRE virus, I'm going to die.
Yeah, okay.
Patient, talk about a tower of terror, am I right?
You are right, patient. I'm going to make sure, excuse me, Nurse Betty, use the dirty duodenoscope.
Hey, okay. What'd you just say to her?
No, yeah, you're...
What did you just
you
say?
You are perfectly safe,
I don't
son.
Speak Spanish, okay. But right. I know you said something.
Okay, all right.
What did
you're
you say?
You're going to be just fine. We're going to prep you. We're using a brand new one.
Prep
Never
me.
Been used. Yeah.
Nobody's so prepping me for
let's,
nothing.
Let's go ahead and
where
get
did my
for this
pants
procedure?
Go? Why am I wearing this gown? Where am I?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Show your doctor this advisory from the FDA that recommends additional cleaning practices, including meticulously cleaning the elevator mechanism by hand. Many hospitals already do this. Also, show your doctor the article from the CDC. A hospital in Illinois put a stop to duodenoscope infections by using a technique called gas sterilization. Other hospitals have started testing their scopes for bacteria and only using them when the results come back negative. So, just remind your doctor that this is a thing, and even though they went to school for 17 years,
right.
They can still be wrong.
They can still be wrong.
But that doesn't mean that you're right.
Print out all these forms on CNN.
Yep.
Take them in and say, I've done my homework. I read this. It took me 7 minutes to read this article.
That's right. Or if you're a conservative, go to Fox News, and maybe they're there. We don't
maybe
know.
Maybe they're there. We have no idea.
They could be a little more sensationalized.
Yeah.
We don't know. All right, next bit of news. Obama says to the GOP, stop copying me on the economy.
Stop copying me on the economy.
Stop copying me on the economy.
Said.
No, you stop copying me.
That's what the GOP said back.
No, you stop
no,
copying
you stop
us.
No, you stop copying me.
No. I said it first.
Alyssa said what?
What?
Yeah.
Wait.
Bill,
wait.
Bill,
what
Bill.
Did he say?
Yeah.
Doug, get the duodenoscope.
GOP.
Get the dirty one.
Yeah.
CNN says in a scheduled speech to the Democratic National Committee's 2016 winter meeting on Friday, President Barack Obama is expected to reclaim some ownership over an issue that is suddenly a hot topic among Republicans, income inequality. Recent comments from potential 2016 Republican presidential contenders about the growing gap between wealthy and working-class Americans in the United States have not gone unnoticed at the White House. Income inequality has worsened under this administration, Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky said after the president's State of the Union speech. Ted Cruz said we're facing right now a divided America when it comes to the economy. But aides to the president insist GOP leaders have flocked to the issue of income inequality only in an attempt to diminish Democratic claims to the nation's improving economy. A White House official said Obama will use his DNC speech to call out Republicans for what he sees as hypocrisy.
Hip-hopocracy.
Obama to the GOP.
Yeah.
Stop copying me on the economy.
What?
Inequality is my thing. I've been doing it back since 2003. It was loose, but it'll
pretty,
work.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
It's going to work,
he
Doug.
He didn't have a beat behind him. That's the problem. You just got to give Obama a beat, man.
And I've always like, got a beat
boom.
In my head.
Yeah.
Guys, the winter is destroying us. And you know who's to blame for this?
Oh, no.
The police say it's Elsa!
Okay.
Arrest Elsa! 30 states have wind chill warnings advisories posted through Friday. CNN says, know who's to blame for this nasty bone chilling cold? It's not Obama, America. It's Elsa.
Oh,
that's right. The made-up Disney character. The Snow Queen.
I've never seen this movie.
That no good Queen of Arendelle with her cold never bothered me anyway mantra. She's running around having a great time.
The Canadians are laughing at us right now.
Here's the deal. They are laughing.
Stephen Amell, he plays Arrow.
Yes.
He plays Oliver Queen. Tweeted this morning like, hey, in New York City, everybody's complaining about the cold. Growing up in Toronto, we called this Friday.
Ooh. Shots have been fired.
Uh-huh. Arrows.
So I guess cops in Harlan City, Kentucky, they put out an on-all-points bulletin to arrest the Snow Queen from Frozen. So if you live in Kentucky, lots of people are respecting you right now.
I wish your niece lived in Kentucky because she'd be going crazy.
She
right
would.
Now.
Suspect is a blonde female last seen wearing a long blue dress and is known to burst into song Let It Go. The suspect description read. To be sure, the cops had their tongues firmly planted in their cheek in a way, they say, to draw attention to something that's actually no laughing matter.
Right.
The miserable cold has turned downright deadly in some cases. 10 people have died in the cold snap in Tennessee. That's where I came from.
Yeah.
5 of them from hypothermia. As a reminder, do take precautions. You need to keep you, your friends, family, neighbors, and pets safe during the Snow Queen's mad spell. The department posted in a follow-up message on Facebook.
Makes sense.
It's true. She's just running around like a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Punxsutawney Phil, he predicted this. He said 6 more weeks of winter.
He was
freaking right.
Yeah.
He nailed it.
He really did.
That little gerbil nailed it! YouTube has a new app that's just for kids. CNN Money says Google's releasing a sanitized YouTube app just for kids called YouTube Kids. Because somebody in the marketing department was way ahead of the curve.
Wait. I think I got an idea. Guys,
is that what that smell is?
YouTube, right? All right, we're known gajillions of hits, right?
Yeah.
But parents don't trust us yet because let's be honest, sometimes baby got back. All right, sometimes baby gonna do her thing.
Baby right? gonna twerk. So, baby gonna twerk all day.
So where can our kids go to do something safe? All right. Thought about this long and hard. May I introduce to you?
Yes.
YouTube Kids.
Sir, you just got a raise.
Thank you. Thank it.
And I'm not just talking about Doug's middle finger. I'm talking about a monetary raise.
A panel of 30 experts to come up with this name. We have researched it for 10 years.
Okay.
So that's why it just hadn't come out when YouTube came out. It took us a long time to research this and come up with this name. YouTube Kids.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. All right. Called YouTube Kids, the Android app only plays age-appropriate videos and has a simplified design that even young children who can't read will be able to navigate. The app, which will carry ads, will be available in the U.S. from February 23rd. YouTube says it has seen nearly 200% growth in family entertainment over the past year.
Such great family PG films as Jaws, Indiana Jones and the Temple
Indiana
of Doom.
Jones. Tons of cool stuff.
Tons of great PG content.
CNN Money reports it may be hard to believe that a dinner bill could reach $300,000.
Oh, I just threw up a little.
Even at a particularly pricey restaurant, but it's actually not hard to do with a party of 30 people ordering bottles of wine with 5-figure price tags. Dang, dude. Vice Media Incorporated CEO Shane Smith spent $300,000 for a dinner in Las Vegas last month, according to the source at Vice.
He could have bought a home. He could have bought 2 homes in Albuquerque.
He could have bought me so much stuff. The new Jurassic World toys are very cheap.
Yeah.
He could have bought me a ton of them. Smith paved the tab for his group, a mix of Vice executive staff members and friends at Prime Steakhouse at the Bellagio Hotel during the Consumer Electronics Show in January. The dinner reportedly flowed with bottles of wine that cost upwards of $20,000. A pop. Hey, put a cork in it,
okay.
Is what I say to your crazy spending, you jerk man.
I see what you did there.
Yep, it's a real butt guy move to do that.
I see what
shouldn't do that. Sad news out of Los Angeles. CNN reports Harry Whittles, a comedian and executive producer of the NBC show Parks and Recreation, has died of a possible overdose. Police said Thursday he was 30. Whittles was found at his home by his assistant, and police believe he may have died from an overdose. That stinks because he produced, wrote, and occasionally appeared in episodes of Parks and Recreation, and that's one of my favorite shows.
Mm-hmm.
And that is sad. In local news, a woman has sued UNM after charges were dropped in an alleged assault. Female student that claimed to be the victim of a sexual assault involving two University of New Mexico football players and a former male student is now suing the university. KOAT Channel 7 reports, last April she returned to her university dorm late one night and notified a community assistant she had been the victim of criminal sexual crime. According to investigators, the University of New Mexico takes charges of this nature very seriously. Said the UNM dean of students, Thomas Aguirre. How do you say that?
No, keep going, Mississippi.
No, I just want to know how to say it. There's an I in there, and yeah. I'm not sure what it means. The dean of students' office has met with the survivor and her family and ordered our support in any other accommodations she might need. We've also connected her with the various resources available to her both on and off campus. In other local news, a shortage of bus drivers. Not Judy.
Not Judy.
Judy's holding it down.
What? Jude's.
They have plagued Albuquerque Public Schools since the school year began, causing missed routes and overcrowding. The problem's gotten more complicated when a major contractor decided to walk away.
They need bus drivers, guys.
They need bus drivers, guys.
Badly.
Well, I guess APS has absorbed a major bus contractor. District says the move was its only hand to play, and they're going to have to ask for emergency funds from the state.
Oh, good.
Now, in other local news, my greatest enemy has surfaced.
Oh.
We're always wondering, you know, heroes like me that fight crime at night in tights, we always wonder when our supervillain is going to pop up, and
right.
It looks like it's finally happened. KOAT reports a former Albuquerque Biopark curator was charged earlier this week after a state investigation found he brought in venomous snakes to the zoo without a permit. Doug Hodel. Doug, are you related to this guy? His name is Doug. You need to get rid of him. The former reptile and amphibian curator at the biopark was placed on administrative leave last August pending an investigation done by the New Mexico Department of Game and Fish. He resigned shortly after the investigation was launched. It was unclear why he was being investigated at the time, but newly filed court documents charge him with 18 misdemeanor counts of importing live game animals without a permit. This is a snake man!
Vipers.
Some of the snakes include vipers, moccasins, rattlesnakes, and South American bushmasters.
Yep.
That sounds horrible. That sounds like a lawnmower that you don't want to encounter. Like maybe your neighbor's like, hey, come check out my new lawnmower, and then he runs over you with the bushmaster. Get out of there, enemy. What? And finally, because we got to get to birthdays, a Salt Lake City man ate at a restaurant chain called Benihana. Maybe you've heard of it. 579 times in 2014. Almost twice as much as any other person in the United States
Gosh.
Of America. According to Yahoo News report, Jack King, 51 years old, took on the Passport Challenge, which awarded the restaurant's most frequent visitor with a free trip for two to a Benihana location and a $1,000 gift card. More than 19,000 people participated in the challenge, but nobody came close to matching this guy. The next highest visit total was 300. He had 579 times.
I feel bad for the guy who visited 300 times because that place is not cheap. And it's like, 300, bro, top that.
Yeah.
Oh, 500. And
almost 600.
Baby, we put a lot of Benihana on credit cards. I don't know how we're going to pay it back.
Well, the funny thing is you would think he would gain a lot of weight and be really sick, but he actually ended the year down about 20 pounds in weight after spending about $6,900.
Oh, gosh. I just lost weight. Because I just
Benihana.
Got ill. $7,000 on Teppan, bro. $7,000 on Teppan.
Hey, you know his chefs were freaking stoked, though. He walked in and that was, double volcano!
Ain't no volcano onion worth that, man.
Yes, it is.
Oh, gosh, I'm sick.
Let's take a look at traffic.
Let's take it.
Long-term road construction, San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast. That's all we have to report because I'm running late because I always go over because I think I'm funnier than I am. It's time for birthdays with Doug!
Yeah! Hey, Doug.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
It's Friday, bro.
It is.
Doug, I'm sorry it took so long.
I do have a dilemma, though, because coming up Sunday night is Fastlane, the WWE pay-per-view. Also happens to be a little award show called the Oscars.
Never heard of it.
I know how you feel about award shows, Doug. You love them.
Doug, you need to come watch Fastlane with us.
So does my wife. And now she's like, dude, the Oscars. And I'm like, Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns.
I figured this out. If Doug and Shannon come over with their baby, Chrissy will be totally distracted. And you have to cater to the guests.
Why would we invite somebody who's going to try and plug award shows, Shannon?
No. Doug is the man.
Okay.
No, I don't think Shannon watches award shows.
Booyah! See?
Yeah. And then she's more tuned into wrestling. No, she's more tuned into wrestling than she is.
I feel like it's inherently award shows.
No, but remember Shannon's Shawn Michaels question. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome. So you invite Doug over, and then you have to. Our guest wants to watch Fastlane.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to invite a bunch of wrestling people over and surprise my wife. It should go off without
a wrestling party. Tell her you're going to throw her a party for something on TV, but say it's a surprise.
Yes.
And then be like, it's a wrestling party.
This has all the makings of a great idea.
Who needs a shiny golden statue when you can have sweaty dudes and Speedos fighting each other?
No.
Who needs to be married?
Sounds like a fantastic Saturday night to me.
Totally.
Today, Friday, February 20th, 2015, day 51, there are 314 days remaining. First up today is birthdays. He has appeared in over 50 movies, usually playing minor roles. He's known for playing Stanford Blatch on the HBO series Sex and the City and the movies. He's also known for his role in the since 2009 as Muzzy in the USA Network series White Collar.
Wait, Muzzy?
Muzzy.
The language monster? Do you guys remember Muzzy?
No.
No.
Just we are Juvie. It was a language course you could take in the 80s, and it was Muzzy. And he could teach you all kinds of languages.
I have no idea what you're
Doug, do you remember Muzzy?
No.
Am I the only one that did Muzzy?
Only one.
Come
Willie
on.
Garson.
Nope.
Disappointed that it's not Muzzy.
59.
Just we are Juvie.
I'll never forget it. I'm going to look it up. I say he's 56.
He is 51. If you Google search him, you'll go,
No, I'm going to Google search Muzzy.
Next up, a couple of baseball birthdays.
Oh, yeah.
First up, an American professional pitcher.
Yeah.
He has won the American League Rookie of the Year. He's also won the American League.
Justin Verlander.
Yes. MVP and Cy Young.
Boom. Didn't even need to finish it.
How old is he then?
30?
33.
32.
Ah.
Next up, a catcher. He was signed by the Atlanta Braves before making the jump to the good guys.
B.J. McCann.
Brian McCann.
Brian McCann, whatever his name is.
Brian McCann.
Brian McCann.
Whatever his name is. I was thinking of B.J. up
here. Brian McCann.
Brian McCann, which is funny because Brian McCann was my catcher in my fantasy baseball league. Should have remembered that. More like McCann.
He's going to have a good year this year.
I just said Brian McCann.
I just echoed your...
Earth to Echo.
Yeah.
Echo Dolphin. You remember Echo the Dolphin?
Stop copying me in the economy.
Stop staring at me, Swan. 32 again.
31.
Come on, Doug.
Man.
But I'm 31.
I assume he must have been older because he went
Nick
to the
Carter.
Yeah.
Nick Carter.
They're getting younger. Nope.
Brian Luttrell.
Yes.
What? Sing it.
Guys, I promise it's the only name
nope.
I know. Because
you know all of them.
The Christian market.
Why do you have that AJ poster in your office?
Stop it.
Why
right
do you have
now.
That AJ poster?
That's because I am AJ, apparently. The bad boy with the freaky goatee and gauged
ears. See, I've always thought of you as Howie, the quiet one over in the corner.
Who is Howie?
He was there. No, there was a Howie.
I feel like this weird
Doug. There was a Howie.
I always thought of him as Lance.
Oh,
that's in sync. Yes, God. And that makes sense.
I'm not JC.
Hey,
Chazette.
Mitch was convinced she was going to marry Lance Bass.
She was convinced.
And then she got really, really disillusioned for some reason. I don't know what happened.
36.
Brian Luttrell is 35.
He is 40 years old.
Whoa. Not so much a boy anymore.
Next up, a retired American professional basketball player and currently works on the Inside NBA.
Charles Barkley.
Yes.
David Robinson.
That's ridiculous.
You know Fred? 50. You remember Fred that worked with in Nashville? He can do an incredible Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, I'll bet.
It's awesome. I wish we could call him.
Oh, man. Good old Fred.
Good old Fred. Charles Barkley's 48.
He is 52.
Ah!
Yeah, but what number was he?
He was...
Number one in my heart.
What number was Scottie Pippen?
Oh, Pippen 33.
What number was Muzzy? Do you guys remember Muzzy?
No.
He got his talent stolen also by the Monstars. Next up, an American model. Her success at modeling made her an international celebrity that led to roles in television and films. Forbes magazine named her the highest paid model on the planet.
Cindy Crawford.
Yes.
Did you guys see those pictures of her that got released recently and she's old?
No, I try to stay away from those.
And she's old.
Well, they're untouched or unretouched or whatever.
It's getting worse. Abort, abort.
No. I'm finishing this. I dug this grave and I'm gonna lay down in it and die. Anyway, a lot of controversy because there's no Photoshop on them.
Oh, okay.
And she's totally like, I don't know.
Old?
She's probably what, like 56?
53.
49.
Okay. Dang it!
But anyway, they didn't Photoshop like any wrinkles or anything. And so people were like, it's weird.
Okay.
It's a weird situation.
The final birthday for today, a singer and kind of actress. She appeared in This
Rihanna.
Is the End. Yes.
What? She
Rihanna.
Was in Battleship.
Yeah.
Never saw it. I was like, Transformers. She is 29.
26.
27.
Oh.
Moving on to tomorrow's birthdays.
Carmen Sandiego.
No. He was on the NBC sitcoms Cheers and Frasier.
Niles.
Nope.
Is it Kelsey Grammer?
Yes, it is.
56.
60.
He is 60 years old tomorrow.
I got a good one. He was also the Beast, and yes. He was a bad guy in Transformers 4. We think, we're not sure. The movie's still not over.
Next up, a Canadian actress. She started her career in Canada with roles in television before she came on over to the States. She was in the drama Hard Candy. And then Juno.
Oh,
X-Men Last Stand.
Ellen
yes.
Page. Oh, that's weird. Kitty Pryde and Beast share a birthday.
Hey-o.
She's 33.
She is 29.
She is 28.
Oh, man.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Nope.
Hermione Granger.
Nope. He was also Hans Gruber.
Alan Rickman!
Yes.
Alan Rickman.
It's Alan Rickman's birthday!
Is that Snape?
Yes.
Yep.
Booyah.
You had me at Hans Gruber. Greatest Christmas movie of all time.
Yep.
Next to Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas, of course.
No. No.
Alan Rickman today is 56.
55.
He will be 69 years old tomorrow.
Really?
Whoa,
dang, dude.
Dude.
You gotta quit aging.
Steve-O, just relax. The final birthday for tomorrow.
Just relax, man.
Just relax.
Oh. Is this Party of Five?
Yeah.
Oh! Oh, no! Oh, no! Wait, he said Alan Rickman and JLH share a birthday?
Yep.
He means Jennifer Love Hewitt. Jennifer Love Hewitt was the prettiest girl in the 90s.
I'm getting spotty. I'm starting to break out in hives.
The early aughts.
She's 36.
Because you had Kelly Kapowski in the early 90s, and then you had J-Love Hewitt. Before there was J-Lo, and before there was J-Law, there was J-Love.
Hey guys, I'm dizzy.
She's
36.
She's 36?
That's what I'm saying.
She's 37.
36 is correct.
Yes! She's your age!
No, just...
Dude, you gotta ask her out!
That wasn't a guess, guys.
When are you gonna ask her out?
I know.
Okay. Is that the other... That's the other poster. You got an AJ Backstreet Boys, and then you got a Jennifer Love Hewitt poster.
Guys.
It's really confusing for people.
It's like warm in here. She's melting the snow.
Brian Wilson.
Just take her to the East Coast, guys.
No, the only birthday for Sunday, an American actress, model, producer, director, and author. She got her debut acting in the 1970s. She acted all through the 80s and then...
Sally Field.
Had some drug problems in the early 90s before getting it together. She's been in such films as E.T., The Wedding Singer, 51st Date.
Drew Barrymore.
Yes.
Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore.
40.
If we could wake up. Man, this song is awesome and it makes me think about Sonic.
What?
The video game or the
restaurant? Yes. Okay. All of the above.
Right.
Wow.
There's Sam, speaking of Sonic the Hedgehog. Because he can run fast. Do you get it?
Yes.
You got. Here's the joke. Sonic was a hedgehog that could run.
How old is Drew Barrymore?
Drew Barrymore is,
I say 40.
44.
40 is correct. Your number one song for today.
Two in a row.
I got Kelsey Grammer and you got Jennifer Love
Yep.
Hewitt.
Number one song for today.
How did you? What? Hey, Sam. Are you listening? He's listening on the app right now. Is it pretty cold out there? Is it cold? Sam, is it cold?
Dude, straight up now, tell me. Oh, wait, what? In a
dream. Bang, bang, bang. I don't know what. Paula Abdul was actually a pop artist before American Idol, kiddos. She had a music video with this cartoon cat or something. It was weird. It really freaked me out when I was a kid. I couldn't understand things.
For one night, you can love in the slamming door.
Paula Abdul is 50.
No, this is the number one song.
Dang it. Dang it.
1988.
Oh, oh, oh. 1991.
1989.
Ah.
Today is Clean Out Your Bookcase Day. It's Love Your Pet Day, National Cherry Pie Day, National Handcuff Day, which is good while we're talking about 50 Shades of Grey. It's National Hoodie Who Day, and it's World Day for Social Justice.
Guys, yeah. Most importantly, it is Jennifer Love Hewitt's birthday eve. So you have 24 hours to get her something special.
What are you going to get her?
She's already given you everything.
Oh, gosh. She's the ghost whisperer.
She's the goat.
The goat?
Greatest of all time.
What? Okay. All right. We got a great show. Sam's here.
You really aren't going to be married after this weekend, Steve-O.
Jennifer Love Hewitt is not a goat. It's been confirmed. I just did a quick Google search. She is actually a human. Just so we know.
Right on. Right on. Quick break. Coming up. Going to talk to our boy Sam Swan about how not to parent. Or is this something that's cool?
We're also going to see if he knows any job placement people, because we're probably not going to have jobs after
that's
today.
Right. We'll be talking a little 50 Shades of Grey versus Old Fashioned, the Christian version.
Yep.
Is there such a thing? We'll talk about that and all this more things of awesomeness.
All this more things.
Of awesomes.
Yes.
Right after this, it's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
Get ready for a jolt. Ready?
Wake up! It's Team Awesome Morning Party. Wake up! On Static Radio.
Oh, and here comes trouble. Here comes trouble. Here comes trouble.
Careful traffic.
Hang on. Hey, hang on. Hey, we got to turn that camera around so people can see Sam. Turning, turning. There he is. Bye-bye, Sam. Now, let's switch to the other camera so nobody has to look at him. Just kidding. There you are, Sam.
Here I am.
Here I am. The only thing showing up on the map is long-term road construction, San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast. I don't see any accidents or whatever, but there could be. So be careful, and you can call us and tell us if you see something. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon Sports. 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvert campus. I haven't had my SoPo yet, so thus the delay.
SoPo.
Did you taste it yet?
No.
Okay.
I'll fix it to you right now.
Man.
Good.
We got the dead eye. Mm-hmm. That would be coffee with 3 shots.
Oh my.
Of espresso. That's what we get every day.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for me to sit at my desk and write a sermon this afternoon.
Yeah, I was going to say. Joining us in studio, Sam Swan from the Baptist Convention of New Mexico.
Sam.
Good morning.
Welcome into the show, sir.
Thank you so very much.
Now, to give a background of your credentials as a father.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about your children's. You have 19, right?
That's a slight exaggeration.
Ah, right.
It's 17.
17.
I have five.
Okay.
Five children.
Okay.
Four or three are grown. One's in college. I guess technically she's grown. She's an adult. She's 18.
Okay.
And then we have one still left at home who is 12, and we're trying to figure out a way to Doogie Howser him out of here.
Gotcha.
So that we can have an empty nest a lot sooner.
That's good.
So if there are any graduate programs looking for a 12-year-old who is, you know, he's a smart kid, but he's not a savant or anything, but he's a very, very smart kid. So call me.
He's a little socially awkward.
Well, I've got one.
He's a lot like his daddy.
One potential solution to just get him to stay in line with you.
Okay.
And, you know, actually behave.
Okay.
Have you tried threatening to shoot him into space?
No.
You haven't.
But I wish I would have thought of that.
Yeah, well, it might be a little too late.
Somebody else already thought of that?
Yeah, one dad told his son that he had a secret ejector seat. He's got a secret ejector seat button in his car.
Oh my
and if
gosh.
The kid misbehaves...
I am loving this already.
He shoots him into space. The little boy's name is Charlie. We actually have the video.
Oh, do we? Okay.
Yeah, and so...
ready?
Yeah, we can play the audio from the video.
If it doesn't sound crazy.
Is this the same Charlie that bit his brother?
I don't think so.
Because that was British.
Charlie.
The hand what you want on the phone.
Yeah.
Can I look at the phone, please?
Yeah, you can. Charlie? You see the button?
Yeah.
Tell me what happens if I press the button.
I go in space.
And
goes
who will you never see again?
Mummy. No! Daddy, you shouldn't press it!
But Charlie, why not?
Because I don't want to go
to
space.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I'll,
just close it up and never... No! Don't press it! No!
Okay.
Just close it up, Daddy. No! Daddy, no!
It's the sunroof button.
Okay. Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you promised to be good, yeah?
Yes.
Who loves you more than anyone in the world? Yep. You're my favorite boy.
Yes.
Yep.
Daddy, if I say I love you and I kiss you and I want to play with you, that means I'll never go into space and you should have pressed that button again.
Okay. I'll never press the button, I promise, okay?
Okay.
Unless it's a real emergency.
Yeah.
Okay?
There you go.
That's
the
real emergency.
One dad.
Charlie.
Converted his, quote unquote converted, in his child's mind, the sunroof button into a space ejector button. And if his son does not behave, he will shoot him into space.
Brilliant.
This is funny that you're, I mean, it is tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
And this dad, you know, in the interview is like, I love my son.
Yeah.
It's a fun video.
Yeah.
The son doesn't feel quote-unquote threatened, but it's been 50-50. Responses have ranged from, oh man, that's hilarious, to
that's child abuse. Exactly.
Boom. Because you're lying and threatening your child to shoot him off into space.
You know, there's a point in our world where we have forgotten that some things, it's just a joke.
Right.
And later, I mean, if I would have done something like that to my kids... At the end, I would have said, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't. I love you way too. There's no way that I would.
I love you to the moon and back.
I love you to the moon and back.
Which is where
you're going now.
If you don't sit down and shut up.
Right.
No, you don't say it like that?
No.
Okay.
No, you can. You can, as long as there's no witnesses, so you don't get accused of child abuse.
I love you to the moon and back, unless you misbehave, and then I just love you to the moon.
Right. And I'm going to leave you,
and you will
on the
stay
moon.
There. And yeah. Man.
Yeah.
See, I thought it was funny.
This
is the kind of stuff my dad did to me all the time.
Absolutely.
And I turned out great.
Yeah.
And you're one of the more serious dudes I know, man.
Yeah, and you certainly don't have any issues.
Phone
that's
lines
for sure.
Are open.
It's hard for me to differentiate fantasy from reality, I'll be honest.
But who wants to anyways?
Yeah.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Will you post a video to our Facebook? We'll get that up there. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Boy threatened to shoot his son into space.
It's the 21st century. Is there any difference between fantasy and reality anyway?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, I don't know.
It
has just become a philosophical question for me that I'm going to ponder. Now that I've had just one sip of this coffee that's got three shots.
Okay.
So I don't know what's going to happen.
What do we do?
I don't know what I'm going to say.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's... It's a lot.
Dude,
it's
I want lot. This every day.
Yeah.
I want this every hour.
Sam, you got to calm
if you're
down.
Listening, Sopo, if you're listening, I want one of these to go when I get off the air a little after 9 or so today because I got to go to
listening.
Work. And I'm going to drive real fast because I got to get over to the other side of Albuquerque and work at the Baptist building.
Sam Swan from the Baptist Convention in New Mexico.
This is like that part on...
We're destroying him. Are Baptists allowed to have caffeine?
This
we
is that part
him.
On Yes Man when he drinks a Red Bull.
Yeah. So, Johnny Corbett is the dad's name. He uses a red SOS button in his BMW to keep his son Charlie in check when he starts acting up. This video obviously has become a viral sensation.
Oh, it's an SOS button. So, that's why he said unless there was an emergency.
Oh, okay.
That's why. See, he's totally like conveying that he will push that button if there's an emergency.
So the 28-year-old dad of two, he filmed Charlie's reaction as they waited for his wife and daughter. And yeah, it's a little 1.5-minute video showing Charlie squirming in the backseat as the dad was distracting him from wanting his smartphone. So he decided to go for this SOS button, this ominous red square button.
You know,
space.
You know, you're never supposed to touch the red button.
Yeah,
in a car or anything like that.
He
never.
Doesn't touch in the video. He hovers his finger. He's, you know, and says,
he's just right
"Can
there.
You see the button? Can you tell me what it does?" I go into space.
I go into space, Daddy.
Yeah. Daddy, if I play with you,
can you get
and
to
if I kiss you, can you, some men want to watch the world burn.
Can you?
Well, I go to space.
Can you actually get to space from Great Britain anyway?
Yeah.
I thought it's too cloudy.
Know, what part of the country do they live in? They sound crazy.
They're from York.
Like, New York?
No, dude, no, York.
That's the weirdest
York.
American
that's,
accent
that's
I've ever
original,
heard.
Yeah. Original York.
Original
it sounds
York.
Like they're from the South.
O-Y-C!
Yeah, the video ends with Charlie telling his dad, Daddy, if I tell you I love you and I kiss you and I want to play with you, that means I never go into space, yeah? He's a corporate salesman. He said, quote, "We've been having fun with the ejector seat button for as long as we can remember. I now reveal the button if Charlie gets a bit twitchy when he's sat bored strapped into the car." He says he often videos us doing things and thought Charlie looked really funny in it. It was only when he uploaded it to his Facebook page, he was astounded by how many people started liking it, commenting on it. He said, "It's a funny video. I'm really not that mean to Charlie. We're just trying to have some fun."
Yeah.
I guess this button is a new addition to the latest BMW models. It allows the driver to send out an alert in the event of an accident. So that's the
kind of like OnStar. It's the BMW version of OnStar.
Of York. Of York.
Of York.
So, but he's gotten some flack on the interwebs. You know,
really?
you can't threaten to shoot your son into space, apparently. It's the final frontier.
It is the final frontier. To boldly go where no one has gone before.
Yeah, except for Charlie.
Except
if he acts
Charlie,
up.
If he acts up.
He's going to space. I get. No, I don't. No, I don't. Because I'm a comical person.
Me too.
I joke with my kids
me
regularly.
Too.
But they also know when I'm being serious as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. It's built in relationship.
Right.
They know when you're messing around and they know when you're being serious. And I don't even have to say. Because Riley's kind of like me. He doesn't like to get in trouble.
Yeah.
So he's going to do what he can to not be in trouble. He's going to try to behave. He works real hard at that.
Yeah.
But he can tell when I'm messing with him.
Yeah.
And like I'll say, I can't even remember. Riley, don't mess with that or I'm going to cut your fingers off.
Oh, my gosh. You know?
And he knows I'm not kidding. I mean, he knows I'm kidding. He knows I'm not serious.
He knows I'm dead serious.
He knows I'm reaching for the butcher knife right now.
He knows.
Oh, no.
He
I use a spoon
me.
Because it hurts worse.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. There you go.
Alan Rickman's birthday tomorrow, actually.
Ah. Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard some of that.
That
it's
was
also
a quote from Alan Rickman from Robin Hood.
Oh, yeah. It's also from, I mean, it's also somebody else's birthday is tomorrow, same day.
Shh. I just, my heart rate has finally, like, normalized, so.
The Steve Whisperer.
I don't want to, like, talk about it. I'm getting lightheaded. So, okay. Well,
that's why my wife won't let me watch Meg Ryan movies. Before the surgery. Before her lip surgery.
505
when she was still cute.
3700, the phone number. That's
now she looks like she's going to fight.
Gosh. 338-3700.
Meg, stop blowing your lips up, will you, lady? Gosh, okay.
A dad, quote-unquote, threatened his son with the space ejector button. We posted the video, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Go check it out for yourself.
Listen,
tell us what you think.
If you can't have a sense of humor about stuff like that, I don't even have to tell my children when they were little. I didn't have to say, look at my face. I'm being serious right now. Because
right.
they knew
yeah.
they knew the difference because of the relationship and how well they know me and how well I know them.
Yeah.
The whether I'm messing with them and teasing and being funny or whether I'm dead serious and I mean it right now. You need to go pick up your shoes and get them out of the middle of the floor
first
or whatever.
First of all, you have to have a sense of humor because if you don't have a sense of humor and you have children, you will die young.
Oh, absolutely.
That's how you die young?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, your children. They will be the cause of your death.
You will either die young or you'll disappear somewhere.
Maybe that's why we've gotten into the
maybe
WWE.
Into space?
My boys and I, we started watching the WWE. And maybe that's why, because it reminds me of when I was a kid in the Hulk Hogan days.
Yeah.
And it's so cheesy,
yeah.
and it's so, but the boys love it.
Yeah.
And so I'm entertained by sitting there watching them watch it.
Absolutely.
And I do have fun. Which reminded me, I have Doug's Valentine I have to give him.
Doug! You got a Valentine's!
It, my son Luke, I can't ruin the surprise, got him a Valentine.
Oh.
He said, you have to get this to Doug.
Oh, great.
So, my boys love it.
It and, must be related to wrestling.
Huh?
Context clues, Sam.
Context clues.
Right. See, there you go.
We joke regularly. I don't see anything wrong with this video, but again, we're all jokers, so I kind of want to see
Joker.
The opposite perspective, because there were people who were furious.
And I've been around parents who don't have much of a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And if I were their children, I would want to live somewhere.
Yeah, I'd love to know. 505-338-3700. Static.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
What's
how
up?
You doing?
Doing well. I don't have an opposite opinion because, frankly, I think that if this is child abuse, so is Santa Claus.
Oh. Booyah!
Wow!
Drop the mic!
Yeah! Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great day.
Yeah, for real. I was like,
dude!
Yeah.
But tell us more. That
yes.
was a great comment.
Yeah, man.
I mean, don't ruin it.
No,
actually.
You
that
can't follow that
one.
Up. Yeah. Hang up right now!
Dude, thank you so much for the call.
That was awesome.
You guys have a great day.
You too, man.
Wow!
Wow!
Well,
yeah.
The phone lines are open, but I mean, you know, what's the
dang, dude.
There's no need in talking anymore.
Opinion has been stated.
That's right. Hello. Welcome to Static.
Hi. So when I was younger, my parents had been youth pastors, and they had a teenage boy that had got into their car. They were taking him somewhere, and he decided to pulled the lever that was between the seats.
Oh, no.
Which, of course, was the emergency brake.
Yeah.
But he's like, what does this do? And he yanked up on it, and it started setting off an alarm in the car. And my mother just very calmly said, uh-oh, that was the ejector seat. She needed to open the sunroof.
No!
And he freaked out.
And your so mom was what, awesome, dude.
That's what that reminded me of.
Yeah, that's great. That's
yeah.
great.
That's awesome. See why I love to hang out with youth pastors?
I know, right? Thank you so much for the call.
Sam, yeah. you never say that right. on the air. Don't say that out loud.
505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. We found a video online of this dad, Johnny, and his son, Charlie. That he filmed reminding Charlie that he needed to behave because installed in their new BMW was an ejector seat that would shoot Charlie into space.
Man, this is
does
nothing.
He?
The more I say it, the more I love this guy.
You know, the other thing that's funny about that, if Charlie was smart at all, he realized there's not enough propulsion in a BMW to send him
Charlie's
into space.
Charlie's like 3.
Yeah, I mean, he's like a 3-year-old.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he was a 17-year-old.
How old is he? He's like 3, right? He's
Daddy.
A little kid.
Daddy.
Sam, look at the kid in the picture.
Child. He's the sweetest sounding little child. We posted the video.
He's adorable. Why would anybody send that sweet little boy into space? Oh, because he's misbehaving. That's why.
That's why.
Yeah.
The, you know, the real crime is they're not even talking about the like the punishment he gave him before when he sent his kid into that factory with that weirdo that had all those orange little people running around.
Yes.
That's the real crime.
And
nobody
the candy?
Brings that up.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah, they covered
cheer
the
up.
Story with
cheer
candy.
Up, Charlie.
No,
oh,
I'm not.
Cheer
don't
up.
Point
Charlie's
at me.
4 Charlie. Years old, by the way. So, Static.
Hi.
Yes. If we consider that child abuse, people are upset about that. They need to take a look at what child abuse really is, where children are being hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, a simple dad messing with his kid, saying he's going to shoot him off to space. Maybe he's going to be an astronaut.
Hey!
Look at the bright side.
He's setting him up for
helping him have a dream.
For a great career.
And we have more serious things to worry about where parents are actually feeding their children.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
Good point.
Thanks for the call, man.
Yeah.
Thanks. You guys have a good day.
You too. You know, that's why every Thursday we have Clay Schroff or Michelle Schroff from the Aspen Project and Project Zoe on. They would do a lot of work with CYFD. There are a lot of displaced children. There are a lot of children who need foster care, who need adoption. And you're right. And maybe that's why we can be so tongue-in-cheek about it, because people were up in arms calling it child abuse, and it's like, dude.
This is
wow.
Not. Yeah.
Wow.
How could you lie to your kid?
Yeah.
Well, and you see it because are we just trying to destroy imagination altogether? Because then you see the kid on the playground who gets suspended because he put his hand in the shape of a gun and is playing, you know, cowboys and Indians. And next thing you know, he's not allowed at school because he, quote unquote, shot a kid with his finger gun. You know, is there more to it? Are we just doling out society?
Yeah.
I don't want to live here.
Let's go to Australia.
Hey, Charlie's dad.
Charlie's
will send
dad
you to space.
Can help me.
He can help
He's
you out.
He's got a seat that shoots us up
or
into
just
space.
Find,
man.
Just find one of your friends with a BMW and hit the red button.
There you
Guys,
go.
Guys, for real. It's like the two callers have said. If this is child abuse, then I grew up in an insane asylum.
Yeah.
Straight up. Because my dad used to play crazy jokes on me.
Yeah, me too.
I was terrified of ghosts, and my dad would hide in my room and wait.
Oh, my God.
And then I would fall asleep, and I would open my eyes, and he would burst out of the shadows.
I so badly want to meet your father.
He would grab me and start laughing.
He is the greatest.
Yeah. They were in town, and I didn't get it. They weren't here when I could meet him.
He would hug me, and he would just go, I got you.
Dude. That'd be awesome.
No!
I am that prankster, too. If I'm home before my family and I hear the garage door come up, there are several hiding spots for me that oh, man, they're going to pee their pants.
Yeah, see, I quit doing that because Riley got so good, so stealthy and so good at hiding that he scared the bejeebies out of me one night. And I yelled at him, Riley, stop scaring me. Stop. And now he doesn't do it anymore. Because he doesn't want to get in trouble. And because that time it seriously made me mad. It startled me so badly that it made me mad. So I was, stop hiding behind the wall and startling me. Then I was like, I'm a terrible dad.
You're a terrible,
I'm a terrible,
terrible
dad.
Father.
So I don't do it to him anymore either.
Oh,
so we have this agreement. Now at Christmas I bought these indoor snowballs. They're like made out of yarn.
And
we had a huge snowball fight at Christmas time. Dude, I got to show you this.
Yeah, you do.
Because you would love this at your house.
Oh, man.
Your boys with the I'll pull it up and show it to you.
Anyway, video of Sam.
So
pointing.
Those snowballs are still. I can't believe this coffee. I love this coffee. It's awesome. Those snowballs.
Going, boom! 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 It looks so mad in our video. It's awesome. I'm sorry. Continue.
Those snowballs are so fun, and they're still laying around the house. And every once in a while, I'll be sitting in my chair, and all of a sudden, I'll feel this. Boop, in the side of my head, because Riley's just sitting on the couch and he just lobs it over and hits me in the head with it. Because that's fun. That's the fun stuff that we do. Let me tell you what. If you think that what this kid's dad did to him in England, I may have told this story on air before. My dad got a shot one time, and I was in seventh grade.
Oh yeah,
and he got blood poisoning.
Yep.
Just a little tiny minor thing of blood poisoning, which can be treated with antibiotic. It wasn't a big deal at all. But I didn't know. I'm in seventh grade. I'm an idiot. I don't know.
Right.
So I come home and I see this red line around my dad's arm from originating from the point of the shot. And I said, what's that? And my dad said, oh, I got some blood poisoning. And my mom said, yeah, he's gonna die. And I just went, what? And then she goes, I'm just kidding. Well, that is not something you kid about.
Right.
Now that if what Charlie did, then what my mom did is child abuse, and I should sue my parents.
You should. Hey, this is a
Except
great
they
idea.
Don't. My
Terrible
dad. My dad is a retired Air Force sergeant. He doesn't have any money.
He doesn't have any money.
No. I could take his pickup. He's got a really nice pickup.
Oh, man. 505-338-3700.
Steal a car, Sam.
If everybody is in agreement that this is not child abuse and this is just hilarious, awesome parenting story, we'd love to hear your awesome parenting stories.
I think we're going to run into people just saying, that's not abuse.
Right.
But it's because, I mean, you know, I know this. Since moving to New Mexico, it seems like this state deals with more child abuse issues than where I grew up, Mississippi, and then later in Tennessee. Not to say that that's not happening there, or that, you know, it just seems like here it's definitely more of a problem that's in the public eye.
Yeah.
We hear about it, and I know CYFD is a very strong organization out here.
Yeah.
And we encounter it more because we work with Project Zoe and Aspen Project, so every week we get a reminder about how the real situation, like the caller said, it's constantly going down. People, like, kids are really getting beaten.
Yeah.
Terrible things.
And so, I just, I don't know. I'm prankster dad, so I saw this video. I thought it was hilarious. Yeah. So we posted the video. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Johnny, he's 31, right? Or 29 years old?
28.
28. Yep. Wow.
He's a young
dad. And he's got a 4-year-old son named Charlie.
Charlie.
And he threatens to shoot him off into space with an ejector seat button if he doesn't behave. It's a cute video, man.
Yeah.
If you just want to enjoy a video, check it out on our Facebook page. But
I got a text from my oldest daughter.
Oh, no.
She goes, threatening to be sent to space? Psh. How about when a dad changes words to nursery rhymes, classic nursery rhymes, and now I can't remember how they actually go. Now that's childhood.
Wow. Oh, that's good.
That's nicely done.
We used to do that to Coon and Waverly. We would say words slightly wrong.
Uh-huh.
Like, instead of underlying statement, underlining.
Right.
And
right.
The key would be to make the word make sense.
Make it sound like it's supposed to be.
Right. Because we'd be like, well, I mean, that's just the underlining statement of the whole thing. And you right. could see him in his mind think, the statement would be underlined, so more emphasis would be. But yeah, that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I'm not kidding. There were quite a few words. It was just his personal preface.
Yeah.
You know? And so... And the funny thing would be when he would start figuring out, he would use both of the ones in a paragraph and watch people's reactions.
Yeah.
But then we picked up that he was doing that, so we would just be blank-faced.
Yeah.
I still don't know if he knows about some of those words.
Little Miss Tuffet sat on a Muffet eating her curds and whey. Along came a spider and sat down beside her and said, hey, baby, what's happening?
No.
That's like Happy Days gone wrong.
Speaking of, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk a little bit about 50 Shades of Grey because that was a weird freaking nursery rhyme. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah, well. Mm-hmm. 50 Shapes of Clay.
Also going to be talking about...
No. You remembered them, didn't
I remembered one.
Yeah. Coinciding with 50 Shades of Grey, we promise, guys, we'll keep it safe and family-friendly. Because we're also going to
Or will we?
We're going to be talking a little bit about old-fashioned.
Oh. Old-fashioned times? Or what's old-fashioned?
The drink. I'm just kidding. No. Old-fashioned.
Family-friendly.
You're with the Baptist Convention in New Mexico. Old-fashioned. Old-fashioned.
Sam, believe it or not.
I do attend some churches that...
It's the Christian film?
Believe it or not,
that
Sam.
Came out last week at the same time?
A Christian movie came out under the radar.
That was to counteract 50 Shades of Grey?
Really?
You from the Baptist Convention of New Mexico have not heard of old-fashioned?
I have not heard of old-fashioned.
Exactly. So we're going to talk about that coming up.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. Keep it close. Make sure you check out the video. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio of this beautiful 3-year-old child.
Yep.
Or 4.
We
Steam Possum Morning
Party. Now.
Static. Summertime. Summertime. Brought me back to thinking you were
mine. All those times. 3, 2, 1. Welcome back.
Now back to Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Careful time.
Time for traffic look. Let me refresh this. Untrustworthy map. There's congestion on 40 eastbound around 8th Street, down to about 30 miles an hour on the interstate, so that's not fun. Also, we have long-term road construction, San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast. And that's all that's showing up right now.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary Campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. 505-338-3669. Good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Sam, you need to
I tell you, you guys need
down.
To go to SoFo. They got this really great coffee shop. Three shots and a real coffee. It's amazing. I won't sleep for days.
Guys, we blew it. We gave Sam Swan a dead eye, which is a coffee with three shots
I'm worried
of espresso.
Which is funny. I don't understand the name dead eye because my eyes are wide open right now. I can see everything. I can hear things through my eyes. That's how great this caffeine is.
I can hear things
through my eyes. Pray for him.
It's terrifying.
He's a Baptist. They're not used to drugs. So too much caffeine for this guy. Way too much.
Way too much.
I don't think it's enough. I think I need more.
Stop
give me another
talking.
One. Please give me another one.
Oh, man. It's not every day you walk into a Goodwill and, decide, hey, I'm going to spend a few bucks here and then walk away a $35,000.
Oh.
But that's what happened to one dude who walked into a Goodwill and bought a watch for $5.99. It was a diving watch. And what he discovered was it was a rare 1959 I'm going to say Jaeger LeCoultre. Why not?
Wow.
One of only 900 ever made.
Whoa.
900 of these watches were made. So dude did what any awesome American would do. He immediately put it on eBay. No,
Amen.
Yeah, he took it to a website for wristwatch fans and fanatics where a San Francisco-based collector offered him $35,000. He also threw in $4,000
shipping and handling.
He also threw in, excuse me, he also threw in a $4,000 Omega Speedmaster watch to seal the deal. So, hey man, I'm going to give you $35,000 and this $4,000 watch for your watch you bought for $5 at Goodwill.
You know, all the watches, boom! All the watches I've owned in my entire life wouldn't add up to $4,000.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Right.
It wouldn't even add up to $9.95.
My favorite watch I've ever owned that I just wish I could find. I was 12 years old.
Yeah?
My mom bought me a Death of Superman watch.
Oh.
It was a Fossil watch.
Nice.
Fossil's a good watch.
Had the four Superman logos on it.
Oh.
On the back it had Superboy engraved into it.
Oh.
Because he was one of the four. It was amazing.
Yeah.
That watch was like $60. And it was the most expensive watch I've ever worn.
I know, that's
life.
Probably about the most I've ever spent on a watch. A Fossil, it was $60.
I can't wear watches anymore. I can't.
Yeah.
Oh!
Do you have claustrophobic wrists?
No, I just have permanent tattoos.
I think I've been to this Goodwill.
Are you serious?
It's in Phoenix. Oh. And it's on Thunderbird Road. And I think we had friends that live close to there.
Nice.
Dude, I'm going to send my nephew there.
Talk
and have
about
him start
a discovery
looking.
Of a lifetime. Yeah. I'm pretty sure there's going to be plenty of people at that one. Well, you just need to go to any Goodwill.
One of two things happened. How that watch ended up there. One, a wife is extremely upset with her husband.
Yeah.
She goes, yeah. "I'll show you, buddy."
Mm-hmm.
Or it was accidentally taken there, and now the guy who lost the watch, he's, "Have you guys seen my diving watch?" And then he sees the story, and he's like, "Well, I found my diving watch." But it's okay. Man. If he could afford the first one, he can afford the second one.
My best Goodwill story was when Matt and I were headed to L.A. to see the premiere of Persecuted.
Booyah!
We had to dress sharp because we were going to be on the red carpet, and I'm like, I can't wear Vans on the red carpet,
mm-hmm.
all right? Can't wear my Converse on the
can't
red carpet.
Can't do it, Sam.
Got to have some nice shoes. So somebody was like, go to this Goodwill
totally
on
been
this
to this
side
Goodwill.
Of town because this Goodwill is the rich Goodwill, right? You get good stuff there.
You're talking about here in Albuquerque?
Yes. I'm not going to say where it is.
I think I know where you're talking about.
I'm not going to say where it is, okay? Because there's some good things there that I want to keep to myself.
Yeah.
So I went in to this Goodwill and we're looking around for, like, you know, dress shoes. And I found these dress shoes, and I tried them on. I'm like, these are really nice dress shoes. And I took them off, and I looked inside, and I'm like, what are they, Ferragamo something, something?
I can't remember.
Some high-dollar shoe company.
So I was, like, looking at them. I'm like, these look Italian. And there were a couple pair of this shoe brand.
Yeah.
So I tried them on, and they both happened to be in my size. And so I Googled them. I Googled the little, like, because they had serial numbers. And you know when a shoe has a serial number, there's
that's
a good
serious,
chance.
Yeah.
And I'm holding the shoe that was like $7 and Googling it. And I look and realize, oh, these shoes are $900 shoes.
My shoe's got a serial number. The ones I'm wearing right now that says 9.5.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
how much are they worth?
That's not. Yeah.
It's right there on the bottom.
I'll give you $8 for those right now. In fact, I'll give you $9.50. 9.5.
No, that's the serial number.
So
these are probably worth like $12,000.
Yeah. The other pair of shoes were worth $600. They were $600 shoes. And so I
did you buy both of them?
Oh, of course I did. I'm like, I only need one pair of shoes. I'm going to wear these dress shoes once in my life. I bought both pair. And I just wear them around the house, and I'm like, I feel like $900 right now, guys.
It's really weird to come home.
I'm wearing that real Italian
like you go
leather.
Over to Steve-O's house, and he's just wearing those shoes.
And my boxers, of course.
It's real weird,
just
Sam.
Those shoes.
Just
I,
those
usually
shoes.
Usually boxers and the shoes, and I'm like, damn.
This brings us to our next discussion, 50 Shades of Grey.
I can never unsee that.
You really
I assure
really
you, Sam, you cannot.
Yes. It's just before 8 o'clock. We got to take a break, but you're right. Coming back, we do need to talk about this. The worldwide release of 50 Shades of Grey last week, and of course we as evangelical Christians everywhere were like, oh great, let's see what damage this does to our culture.
Yeah.
Well, old-fashioned release last week as well. It was the Christian version of the film, if there is such a thing. We're going to talk about that because you, sir, from the Baptist Convention in New Mexico, have no idea what I'm talking about.
I have no idea.
You're the target audience for old-fashioned.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Is it because
he's
I'm
calling
old?
You old,
yes.
man.
And you're fashionable.
And I'm fashionable.
You're fashionable, Sam.
Got my skinny jeans on.
Coming back, we're going to talk about this. The Christian versions. If you like that, you'll love this. And and what that means for Christian
what
culture.
What does
and,
it mean?
Yeah,
right.
The not 50 Shades of Grey conversation. On the way back on Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Here we go.
I'll have that party, and it'll be fun.
This is going to be a real party, isn't it?
Ain't no party like a Team Awesome Morning Party, because a Team Awesome Morning Party party don't stop.
This show is so clever.
Well, it's a Friday in Albuquerque, so guess what traffic looks like?
It's pretty breezy.
Surprisingly good. There's an accident at Golf Course Road Northwest at Westside Drive, way up towards Rio Rancho. And there's long-term road construction San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast. Everything else looks like it's moving. There's a couple of slow spots around 12th Street on the I-40 eastbound and then around Pan American on I-25 southbound. But everything looks like it's going pretty good. Pretty good Friday, y'all.
There you go.
Cool, man.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. It's 505-338-3669. Good morning.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. We've been teasing this topic for some time.
Ha ha.
If you know what I'm saying. Welcome.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You just intro'd yourself
welcome
and started singing.
Awesome morning.
If you know what I'm saying. Welcome. Hey, it's me.
Enjoy the steak.
Just me out there.
Woo!
Welcome to the lounge.
We have been teasing this. We've been talking about this. We've been preparing for this. So we thought we would save it for Friday when we had Sam Swan from the Baptist Convention in New Mexico. So we'd have the most opportune audience to offend.
Yeah. Wonderful.
1 week ago, 50 Shades of Grey released in theaters. I didn't see it.
No.
No, I don't even know anybody.
I saw it twice.
Shut up.
I didn't see it.
No, you didn't.
I don't know anybody who's seen it.
Yeah, I really don't.
And if I do know somebody who's seen it, they probably
they
would
not
admit it to me.
Yeah, yeah. So.
What did you go see? We just walked around the theater for a little while because I don't remember what else is playing, so I can't fulfill my lie to you.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Well, the evangelical Christians were obviously very opposed.
Uh-huh.
And some decided to do something about it, so. Along with the release of 50 Shades of Grey last week, a Christian version of the film, if you will, called Old Fashioned released. It's not really the Christian version, it's more of the Christian response. So if you're unfamiliar with Old Fashioned, which came out last week, the basic idea is this.
Three fingers of rye whiskey.
Clay, former frat boy, he runs an antique store, he meets Amber. She's kind of like the restless spirit, right? When she rents an apartment from Clay, she realizes everything she's heard about him is right. He's outdated and unrealistic about love and centered on old-fashioned courtship. In fact, a scene in the movie, he's got to work on something at the apartment, but before he can enter the home, he makes Amber leave. Because he made a promise to himself he'll never be alone in a house with a woman. He's saving himself for marriage, you see. So he can't fix her plumbing.
Wow.
In the apartment.
That was cool, man.
I think we need to
Doug, play the intro music.
I think
again.
We need to go to a break.
If you know what he's talking about,
we need to take a break.
My name
we'll be
is
back after this message.
Steve-O. She's there.
I say things on the radio.
Oh,
that I'm gonna regret.
Where's the dump button?
We guys, come on.
No, I get it. He won't allow himself to be alone with a woman because he's saving
something
himself from
marriage. Something was wrong with the sink and he had to fix it.
Yes.
But she couldn't be in the apartment, okay?
Right. That's what we were understanding.
I mean, if Sam's quiet, then you know it's...
I don't know if it's the caffeine or just the...
I'm proud. I'm proud to be a part.
But that's when things go a little different in Old Fashioned. Clay's ideas are intriguing to Amber, who finds herself drawn to the throwback gentleman. Both of them, of course, have skeletons in their closet because it is a rom-com and need to deal with those first if there's any chance of making their Old Fashioned courtship work. So here's the thing. Basically, 50 Shades of Grey released, and Christians were like, hey, there's a book like this. Let's counteract that with this.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're wanting to see 50 Shades of Grey, how about you try Old Fashioned instead? 50
right.
Shades of Grey made millions of dollars.
It made a lot of money.
It made
a lot,
tons of money. Yeah.
A lot of money.
I was blown away by the projections of the first weekend.
Outdated. I mean, Old Fashioned. I seriously did not mean
that. Did you
that.
Say outdated?
Oh, my.
Man, this is awesome. Give me that paper. I'm pre-reading it. Give me that paper.
Hold on.
going to do this.
Gosh, dude, too much caffeine. Old Fashioned has brought in about $258,000.
Yeah, it's done. I think it's actually done way better than they expected it to.
Oh, good. That's good. How much has 50 Shades of Grey made? Over 100 million?
Yeah, at the domestic, and 300 million at the worldwide.
Gosh, dude. Yeah, so here's one article, and this wasn't a Christian article, basically, talking about Old Fashioned. And their comment was that Old Fashioned pretty much owes its existence entirely to 50 Shades of Grey. It's as if this is their quote. It's as if the Christian movie industry pays attention to mainstream cinema just long enough to see what it's up to before raising funds to do the slightly different version of the same thing with less famous actors, more Jesus, and rocking chairs. Because for some reason, there's always rocking chairs. That's their quote in this article.
Huh.
Any person even vaguely familiar with evangelical subcultures will recognize the trend of copying and sanitizing whatever pop culture is doing. This trend belies a certain impulse with evangelical Christians to separate the entire world into two categories, sheeps and goats.
Yeah.
And, man, this was what was really kind of frustrating for me as an evangelical Christian. Because according to this article anyways, you know, it's Old Fashioned releases, 50 Shades of Grey releases, one makes $100 million, and it's, you know, it's ginormous in the culture around us. And then the Christian version, you know, $200,000+.
And part of that is the marketing machine.
And the problem is
the lack of a marketing machine.
Yes.
And the fact that it was a best-selling
book. And the product they're doing, in
right.
my opinion.
No, I,
the
yeah,
product
I agree.
You put out will echo with the way it sells, because they say the end result is that the Christian product seems like a knockoff, cheap alternative.
Right.
Here was the big quote that I definitely wanted to touch on and talk about. It isn't problematic that Christians borrow ideas from Hollywood and put their own spin on them. Every film genre does this, but given the Christian doctrine of creation, it is certainly surprising that so many Christian filmmakers and artists in general would choose to mimic someone else's vision rather than cultivate their own.
Yeah.
It's surprising because in Christian theological terms, God is not the one who makes knockoffs. In the opening chapters of the Bible, God created the universe and he told Adam and Eve to enjoy it all except for that one tiny tree over there. It's Satan who comes along with the counterfeit offer and says, did God really say this? Did he really give you true freedom? He may have given you a garden, but I'll give you an apple. If you like that, you'll love this. End
Whoa.
Quote.
That is pretty insightful.
And I immediately thought of being at the Bible bookstore, and if you like Tool, you'll love Skillet.
Yeah.
If you like Depeche Mode, you'll love The Echoing Green. That was actually one of the... And it got me thinking about it anyways, because... In our Christian culture, it's true. It seems like maybe the reason some of these films aren't doing so well is because there is no vision behind it, no heart behind it. It's truly a knockoff.
Or it's just a reaction to what somebody else is doing.
Right,
Which is a form of knockoff.
Yeah.
They're doing this, so we're going to do this to straighten everybody out.
Right. So
perhaps, I don't know.
They ask some very intriguing questions in this article. What makes a movie Christian?
Yeah.
I mean, what even makes a movie Christian? Movies can't get saved. You know, it's kind of mocking, of course, but there's some... We need to pay attention to what the culture around us is saying about us.
Yeah.
And this draws out some pretty insightful things as far as what we're doing in the arts and entertainment industry as Christians, because, man... This is a really interesting question. For Christian consumers of art, the question isn't, is this artwork Christian? It becomes, is it Christian enough?
Yeah.
Enough is often what makes something a quote-unquote Christian thing. That enough is what takes a cultural artifact from the realm of secular to the sacred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's going to be different for everybody, because even some of the less cheesy Christian movies that have come out...
Yeah.
I heard critics of those, too. It wasn't Christian enough.
Yeah.
Like, for example, the one I'm thinking of is To Save a Life. That's a pretty well-produced movie.
Yeah.
About a kid who takes his own life at school.
Yeah.
And it's pretty intense. And there's some, you know, there's even some raw language and stuff. I don't remember if there's actually cuss words, but
it's
just kind of raw, the whole thing is. But even some of the people that I saw that movie with or talked to about it later, they were like, well, it didn't. They stopped short. I mean, it was produced by Christian folks and everything. It was touted as this evangelism tool.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to explain. I said, it's an evangelism tool in that after the movie is over, you can have discussion about it. But as far as Fifty Shades of Grey and this what's it called, Old Fashioned. I don't know that the timing of that is good. And I don't know anything about Fifty Shades of Grey except what I've read, whatever the people have said. I haven't read the book. I think I've seen the cover of a book as I walked by it in a store, maybe. But just from what I understand, instead of fighting so much against that or trying to come up with an alternative, let's vote in other ways. Like I read a blog by a friend of mine, a guy named Alvin Reed.
Yeah.
And he suggested, and he said, this isn't my suggestion, it came from somebody else, but I'm going to quote it here. So he borrowed this from someone. He said, vote against the movie by going to see a different movie. And, you know, while that one's still playing in the theater, just go see another movie. And that's because that's how Hollywood determines whether their movie
right.
was successful or not.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of people had voted for Shades of Grey because it's made $100 million.
Gosh.
But yeah. but if you go, even if you don't go to a Christian movie, if you go to a different movie while Shades is playing
right.
in the theater, you're voting. You're telling Hollywood, I like this movie better than this
yeah.
movie.
Yeah.
It you know, just so happens that the subject matter of all that has created a lot of intrigue. And, you know, we've all heard the discussions about it.
Well, and we all know sex sells
yeah,
in our culture.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, 50 Shades of Grey, one of the... Gosh, I looking at the numbers, what was it? The fourth highest grossing R-rated movie opening for an opening weekend?
Yeah,
like
of all time.
Of
yeah.
all time?
Yeah, crazy.
You know, and so then in turn we have the Christian response. What are we doing? 505-338-3700, the phone number. Let's get some thoughts. Static!
I think Steve-O should never be able to read again any of the trailers. Ever. Ever.
Willie. You be nice. You be sweet.
Guys.
Be sweet.
Come on, man.
That Denver air has gotten to him.
That was in the trailer. I wasn't.
unless he's on the radio, because then it's hilarious.
Yeah.
You guys are the reason that movies like Old Fashioned get made, because you need some of that. All right? Maybe if you had them old fashioned values, your brains wouldn't go stupid places.
Old fashioned or outdated?
Those outdated values are the best. I got to tell you, I don't think I've laughed as hard all because I've been listening all morning. I don't think I've laughed as hard as I have in the last 10 minutes hearing you read them.
Cool, man. Thank you.
And we kind of wish we would have heard that because your laugh is infectious, Willie.
Yeah, Willie. Thank
you. Oh,
thank
man.
You.
I love you guys
love
so much.
You too,
no,
buddy.
It's a good thing. Steve, oh, man, it's the best. I love when you do that. You got to read it all the time. You should just do movie trailers, bro.
I'm glad you guys could laugh at my expense.
Oh, you could be trailer guy.
I could be trailer guy.
That would be awesome.
You could be trailer guy.
Hey, you know what? Steve-O actually did a voiceover for Waverly. We used to have like a little
That's
web series.
True.
And he was the narrator at the beginning of
this
the show.
This is Waverly.
Yeah.
They had an online TV show called This Is Waverly. And
I was
the voiceover of their TV show.
It was good.
What?
Yeah. Next
hey,
time
how's,
on This
how's the
Is
thing
Waverly.
On the box.
Dude.
That y'all are doing with the box and the thing and the other show thing, maybe.
Oh,
the
yeah.
TV
the
show?
TV box. Them TV boxes.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't know if you guys could talk about it.
The
I don't
devil's
know.
Inside the TV.
We need to form an online petition.
Here's what we're doing. We're doing the Christian alternative. We're actually just going to be standing on the corner
yep.
and telling jokes that way.
Yeah.
It's yeah. cleaner, and the devil ain't in that.
Spontaneous
so.
Outside
oh,
comedy.
My gosh.
Yeah. So look for it. Corner of Central and Richmond.
At a corner near you.
Oh, no, you're not going to go out on Central, man. You can't do that. That's not good.
No?
That's,
okay. All right.
That's taking it to the streets. That's ministry right there.
Spontaneous comedy.
I thought of a joke, but it was too layered.
There you go.
I was going to say it's called outprov, but then I thought, no, it's improv, not improv.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Sorry.
It was,
hey, I love you guys,
love
man.
You too,
y'all are y'all are so great, and I just want to say that y'all are the best.
Now, apologize for picking on my friend.
Never. Thank
Bro,
you, Steve-O.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. You best know that I love you,
I
man.
Love you,
you
too,
best
buddy.
Know by now.
I woke
Shoot,
up to amazing
man.
Photoshopped pictures of me this morning. So
I didn't mean for your head to be smaller than everyone else.
So great, bro. So great. I loved it. Thank you. Never stop doing that.
Yeah.
So
hey,
you.
I love you guys.
Love you too.
Sam
love Swan,
you are the man of men. That's
wow.
what you are.
Thanks, Wooly. That's cool. awesome, man.
Wooly, everybody.
Love you, brother.
Love you too.
Hey, y'all have a good day.
You too.
Man.
It's I fine, love that
man.
Guy.
Just picking chicken.
Good old Wooly.
He is
picking chicken. So the whole
awesome.
the whole thing we're talking about is. There's an article about 50 Shades of Grey that came out. We all know it made a lot of money. Many people, especially in conservative circles, were opposed to it.
Yeah.
And there, of course, was a Christian alternative movie that came out kind of under the radar. You probably didn't even hear about it because we think their marketing methods must have been old-fashioned because nobody heard about this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, we heard about it after the fact.
Well, or yeah. Gosh, who knows, man? I'll tell you what. Talking about what makes something Christian, what makes this radio station a quote-unquote Christian radio station, you know? And what are we putting under the microscope? What is it that makes something quote-unquote Christian? A Christian t-shirt, a Christian film, a Christian show? Is our morning show Christian enough?
Yeah, because you everybody's all up in arms about 50 Shades because of the subject matter.
Right.
But I can't tell you how many people, and I'm just making a comment here. I'm not expressing an opinion one way or the other about this show that I'm fixing to mention, but I hear tons of believers talking about Walking Dead.
Right.
That
is a graphic, violent show.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind the violence. I guess I've been desensitized to it, but what I don't like about that show, I tried to watch it, is it's gory. It's not just violent, but it's gory. Right. I mean, if you're going to kill zombies, I get it. Kill them.
Yeah, they're zombies.
We don't want them to take over the world. I understand.
Right, got it. Yeah, totally.
We need living people, not the living dead.
Exactly.
And they can kill them without being so gory about it.
No, Sam, they cannot.
Just don't show the blood and guts, please. It's disgusting.
Listen, guys, there's zombies overrunning everything. Is there any way you guys could just, like,
it's just
kindly,
scary.
Sam,
kindly take their head off? Like,
what's the dentist's name from Rudolph?
Oh, no, he's the church lady all of a sudden.
Yes, let's see. Who can make us do that? Could it be Satan? Huh?
All right.
Well, isn't that a blessing?
Oh, man. You know,
well, but see, it's it, and they, so we, where do we draw the line?
Right.
And I know a guy.
What defines it?
I've met a guy. He's written a book called The Gospel According to... I can't remember the exact title, but it's dealing with the zombie apocalypse.
Okay.
And it draws parallels between Walking Dead people, which is what we are without Christ.
Right.
And so it's a very clever, because the culture is very zombie oriented right now. So it's a very clever tie there. But is it worth exposing ourselves to some of the other stuff that we see in shows like that? And again, I'm not expressing an opinion. I tried to watch it. I watched it for about 15 minutes, and I just couldn't handle the gore of it. I liked the storylines. I mean, this is the same guy. I love the Bourne trilogy. Those are violent movies. I mean, there's lots of punching and fighting and shooting going on. Bring it on. I love that. Yeah. And maybe more today because of all the caffeine that I have.
We got a comment on Facebook from Erica. There was a lot of room for Christians to point out common ground problems with 50 Shades of Grey. Do we not all agree that when a woman says no, she means no? There are campaigns on TV and college campuses are razor focused on date rape right now, and yet a movie based on a book where no means yes is making $100 million.
Yeah. Right.
That is the problem Christians could be taking on. Respect for women.
Yeah.
And not just Christians, but the world in general.
At large.
Yeah.
We saw it in the Super Bowl. Half of the commercials made you depressed.
Right. And they talked about running like a girl, throwing like a girl, have respect for the girls.
Right.
And then right after that, they showed the 50 Shades trailer.
Yeah.
Which, that's a contradictory.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's our culture, you know?
So, that's where they live.
Yeah. In this mass market. Man. Static!
Yeah, good morning, dude. How you guys doing, man?
Fantastic.
I just wanted to chime in and say, like, I don't know, man. I guess you can look at it both ways, because one time I was watching Sons of Anarchy, and I had a couple buddies come in, and one of them was like, you know, you would think it was blasphemy, and then the other one was like, oh, Sons of Anarchy.
Right.
Awesome.
Right.
But it's just, I think it's just, it's okay for Christians to develop ideas and to make things and, you know, kind of, like, I don't know, make your own things be, you know, have your creative mind. But I think when you're going to piggyback off of someone else's idea and then water it down and call it Christian, it's like, dude, I don't know. I just think, like, if you don't like the movie, don't see it. If you don't want to watch it, don't watch it. If you do, you do, dude. I don't know. I just think sometimes we overcomplicate things, and then we say, oh, well, it's got to be Christian, though. It's got to be a Christian view. And it's like,
That's not reaching anyone, dude. If anything, that's pushing people away.
Well, that's an interesting. Thank you so much for bringing that out, for that comment, because that's kind of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. What makes a movie even a Christian film? Because there are definite. I mean, this is why we do Comics Corner. Mm-hmm. There are definite themes within art that you can go, oh man, that story of redemption was incredible. And Daniel Seidel, he's an art historian in residence at the King's College in New York City, said this: for evangelical Christians, culture is a tool, a more effective way of getting at political realities or winning the battle of ideas in the public arena. And he used, I thought, a great analogy with his students to explain what he means about this. He says, imagine a gorgeously wrapped gift sitting under a beautifully decorated Christmas tree, right? The presentation of the package, while pretty, is nowhere near as valuable as what is inside. He said, now extend that idea to Christian art. The artistic qualities of a work become the unnecessary wrapping paper. And as such, it doesn't really matter how good or bad they are. That's why, he says, old-fashioned is often very boring. It doesn't matter that the script bursts at the seams with overwrought dialogue, or that the actors, outside the lead actress Elizabeth Roberts, they say, offer phoned-in performances. The director, writer, and lead actor, they bear some of the blame here. They say all of his work include these Christian film industry things that, while they have good, maybe, ideas, it's this wrapping paper, right? It's wrapped up in this box, but it's hollow on the inside.
Yeah.
Because they're not actually coming up with sound ideas. They're just trying to counteract 50 Shades of Grey or whatever it is at the time, instead of going, dude, I've got a story.
Instead of being proactive with storytelling, we're being reactive to what's going on in our culture.
Yeah, this article points out that old-fashioned is rife with cliche. It feels forced. It's unnatural at every turn. They said even Amber, the lead female character, having read a screenwriting book or two, points out that Clay's lofty discussions of love seem so on the nose that it just feels phony. It feels false. It's not realistic. And
there is one part of... There is one part of the idea of the wisdom of God being foolishness to the world.
Yeah.
That we have to, there's about, not necessarily a balance, but that plays into some of it. That some of what we would try to create and put into a real world situation, we don't want to sanitize it. We want to, I think it's best to demonstrate it in a real world situation so that it becomes realistic. But at the same time, we have to recognize that some of the things that we actually are talking about comes across as foolishness to the unsaved world.
Right.
And that's biblical. That's not, that's because they don't yet understand, because they don't understand the things of the Spirit.
Right.
So there's that kind of somewhat plays into it a little bit. But there's a quote from a guy who... a friend of mine, a guy named Alvin Reed, he's got a blog, and he was talking about what to do about 50 Shades. And if you want to read it, check out Alvin Reed. You can Google his name and find his blog and read what he says about it, rather than reading the whole thing. But he closes it by saying this: we can criticize culture, and we should, but and he quotes this other guy that he quotes in his article, but as Crouch notes, we need to be creating culture, stepping into the arena of ideas and art, and contributing. It's much easier to shout at the darkness than to find ways to turn on the light in a dark world. But Jesus called us to do the latter.
Yeah.
So he's saying we can, rather than just imitating or duplicating what the world is already doing, or being reactive, like what we're talking about here, let's be proactive. You got a great story? Yeah. Tell the story.
Yeah.
And tell it the way that it would really happen in your family. Be real, be genuine, because that's where, when you read the Bible, look at the flaws and stuff of the people, that the realness. I don't even want to say it that way, because we all say, well, we all mess up. Well, that has become cliche to me as well.
Yeah.
But if we think about the fact that the stories, the accounts of the people in the Scripture, they're real people that had real issues, that God redeemed them and used them in spite of their issues for His glory and His honor. And He's still doing that today. And we don't need to. Part of our problem is we want to cleanse everything and make it come across in this ideal sense that we don't have any struggles.
That's it. We want to sanitize it. As this article pointed out, you want to sanitize it. But the problem with that is because we do hear this regularly. We'll get emails in from different people with different thoughts about things that we talk about on the air and say, hey, you've got teenagers listening and they're, you know what? Their minds are sponges and they're just going to take what you say. And you got to be careful. You can't promote this TV show or you can't say this about that because then they're going to go murder somebody.
Yeah.
You can't play video games with violence because they're just going to start killing everybody, yeah. You know? And I do believe that there should be some tact, and I do believe that we do need to be careful and protective. Obviously, with my children, I'm very protective about what they ingest in the culture around them. However, growing up in a Baptist Christian home, man, I thought my mom was perfect because, you know, we're Christians, and so we don't make... The first time my mom blew it in front of me, I was depressed for months on end because she's a Christian, and Christians don't screw up.
Right.
They don't... I'm sorry. Christians don't make mistakes. Yeah. I just blew it.
Yeah.
I just unsanitized our morning show. I said, screwed up.
Wait, was our show sanitized?
I guess not.
I think you're right. It's not.
So
okay.
There's something to be said about what you're saying, that David, who was a man after God's own heart, was a murderer and an adulterer, and there's real issues at this that if we sanitize and make it all cleanly, that's just as bad as those stupid rom-coms that say, life is fluffy, and when you meet that one, they're the one, and you know, and then you're going to get married and have children, live happily ever after, and never have problems. Yeah. That's crap.
Yeah. And
it's destroying our culture. And so you see these Christian movies with the perfect Christian character. That's such crap.
Yeah.
No one is perfect. No one is. I mean, we can quote Christ when he's talking to the rich young ruler. Why do you call me good?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
So, anyways, I'm going to get off my soapbox and take line two. Static.
Hi.
Hi.
Wow.
Welcome.
Follow that, will you?
You can't say crap. At any rate.
Man, Steve, you've been unsanitizing the show all morning.
Don't you get on our phone line, cousin us.
Wow. So, I'll just try to go back to the movie topic. I don't think I plan to see either of these movies.
Yeah.
So I've kind of gotten addicted to the fast forward button, so I rarely go see a movie at all.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to see something that, you know, I'm stuck here, I paid the money, and I'm not liking this part, and I wish I could just get to whatever I think is interesting.
Right.
But I think that a Christian movie is one in which the attributes of Christ are shown. You know, the great sacrifice, the loving the unlovable, the forgiving the horrible. And there are a lot of movies that show those things. And I'd kind of like to hear what people think of as a Christian movie in that way. Like maybe even a Schindler's List is a Christian-type movie. Or...
Let me go all nerdy. Superman is a Christian movie.
Man of
Steel is a Christian movie.
Yeah, yeah. The people that will sacrifice anything. Lots and lots of movies about war.
Right.
One of my favorites is a little not greatly produced movie called To End All Wars, based on a true story of, you know, prisoners in a concentration camp and how there's somebody that steps up and sacrifices everything to save somebody else. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah, dude, Life is Beautiful, Roberto Benigni. It's Italian. Go see.
Yes, yes. What is that? What's the one that Angelina just
directed? Oh, yeah, Unbroken.
Which could have been a Christian movie.
It was marketed to us. We got
it was.
We received resources here at the radio station for this Angelina Jolie film.
Yeah,
cheated the end. Yeah. It really just focused on the pain, but not the forgiveness, not the redemption. So, anyway, great topic.
Thanks,
guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And that's exactly what it is. What makes a Christian film Christian? Why are the quote-unquote ones that are labeled Christian films usually so terrible? Is it because it's lacking substance? Because as she pointed out, there are some incredible films that could be labeled quote-unquote Christian that don't say Jesus in them, but have that redemptive story. Because as we're talking about trying to draw the world into the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's it. There's no greater love than one, you know, lay down his life for his friends.
Yep.
And you see that in these films. I'm going to piss everybody off, but Harry Potter... and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. I mean, if you go back and read in an interview with J.K. Rowling, after it was all said and done, said this was an allegory of Jesus Christ, and it was done on purpose. Yes, I am a believer. And, of course, it made everybody angry. Yeah. That, to me, Book 7, Deathly Hallows, was a better allegory than the Chronicles of Narnia. I named my son Jack after, you know, C.S.
Yeah.
Lewis.
Yeah.
I love C.S. Lewis. Don't hear me.
No, I hear what you're saying.
That film, that book especially, was the best allegory.
Chronicles of Narnia was written for older elementary and middle school
kids.
There
you go.
And Harry Potter was written for older kids.
Yeah.
Older
teenagers.
Folks. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So it's two different.
Yeah.
I mean, I would agree.
But I mean.
No, I hear what you're saying.
That's it, man.
No, I hear you.
I mean.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's talk about it. 505-338-3700. Teo's posting it on Facebook as
I'm
well.
I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this question. This is the
what
hardest.
Makes you sound Christian?
I'm trying to be creative.
I've heard him. Type, backspace, delete.
Well, it's almost nine. Moving on. I'm just kidding. Static.
What's up, fellas? Good morning.
How's it going?
I'm just a little bit nervous that creativity within the church is boiled down to forgetting where you stole something. And it seems like that, whether it's this movie Old Fashioned or pastors across the nation doing their 50 Shades of Grace series, you know.
That's just dumb.
Fairly ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's like a whole year of messages. You should boil it down to like maybe five, you know, weeks tops to. I'm just kidding.
Exactly. No, we can do better.
Yeah. Right on, man. Thanks for the comment.
No worries. Later.
All right. 505-338-3700. Static.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
What's happening?
You know, just having a convo.
Oh, yeah. awesome topic. I really enjoying you guys talking about it. So, kind of going back to what you guys were talking about, the Christian rebuttal movie to 50 Shades, I think that they're trying to answer an argument that wasn't even directed at them at all.
Mm.
I mean, it's like having a Christian buddy that you love, but when you're in a group of non-believers, he comes up and no one's even talking to him or even talking about Christ. And he's like, hey, Jesus, you know?
Right.
And I think that has its place in certain areas, but when you're trying to argue against something that was never, you know, if that was a movie directed towards Christians and like a rebuttal towards, you know, an argument towards Christians.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. It's the abrasive friend. It's the Jesus juke.
Yeah.
That's exactly what
If I understand what you're saying that it's not like the producers of 50 Shades said, hey, let's target the Christians with this movie and just really upset them.
Right.
They just made a movie about a book that sold billions and dollars of worth of books, and now it's making millions of dollars in the box office. But I think you're right. It we get all up in arms about silly little things.
Yeah.
Not
silly.
Yeah.
I mean,
I hear what you're saying.
I
hear you. Yeah. I hear you.
Thanks for the call, man. Phone lines are jammed.
But what's crazy is that whole thing about the 50 Shades of Grace or whatever that guy, whatever the church is doing, that's just silly, too. That's almost worse than a Christian movie response to it.
Here's my thing.
Maybe it's the caffeine but that just makes me sick.
We forget that, like that guy just said, this movie wasn't marketed to Christians.
Right.
And providing, like, a Christian response, if you will, and everybody, like, I know we think problems need to be addressed, and I especially agree with, like, addressing domestic violence and,
absolutely,
and like, women's rights and all that stuff, totally. But every time an article gets posted about this movie, mm-hmm, even now on our Facebook, because I included a line about 50 Shades of Grey, I've just provided exposure to that movie.
Right.
Right.
So what's happening is we have like this movement, you know, where it's like, we are going to do a Christian response to this movie, when in reality, we're just calling more attention to the original thing.
How I discovered Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I had never heard of Harry Potter. There was only a couple books out at the time. And in youth, we had to watch a video about the dangers of Harry Potter and how it was turning kids into witches and wizards and how it was witchcraft and all of these things. And I was dumbfounded by it and couldn't believe it. And when the first movie, it was as the first movie was coming out, and I thought, what?
What confuses
and,
me?
And it made me. It made yeah. Me, you it know, makes like, you go hey, after. Thank it. You, discernment. I'll try my own discernment. How's that? And I truly read it intentionally with the okay. Yeah. We need to be able to counter this because if this really is going to take down Christianity, we're gonna need to have some insight and knowledge. And guess what? It wasn't that at all. And yeah. I ended up thoroughly enjoying them. Yeah. But that's how I discovered it, was because of the quote unquote Christian boycott.
Right. We generate a curiosity. Yeah,
absolutely. We're the
like
best billboards at yeah. all the worst things.
I'm going to take it out so. Of the question.
Yeah. No.
But here's the thing. No, I'm not going to do that. The thing with me, though, why are we forming Christian responses to stuff in entertainment? Number one, it's a watered-down copy,
yeah.
which is not a true reflection of our Creator. And I understand we're not all creatives, but some people are.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. So it's number one, it's a business move. It's about money. Yes. That's what it boils down to. I'm sorry, everyone, but they want your money. And they know they have a target audience
right.
that's easy to snag.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And then number two, do they just think we're going to, like, you're going to go to the movie theater with no intention of seeing 50 Shades of Grey, and then all of a sudden you're just going to, like, accidentally buy a ticket to 50 Shades? So
right.
we release these response things. It's like, well, just in case they go and they're not sure what they're going to do, they'll look over here and right. they'll see this, and then they'll accidentally buy the ticket to this.
Yeah.
You know? It's
yeah.
kind of weird,
yeah.
right? Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
No, we've taken the sheep mentality like to the nth degree. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, they're so stupid.
Right.
We need to release a movie. They'll never know what's happened. They're going to stumble into 50 Shades of Grey and just lose their salvation.
Right.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Absolutely.
It does. Yeah.
Phone lines are jammed up, man. 505-338-3700. Let's talk. Static.
Yo, what up, guys?
What up?
Yeah, I've been listening for a little while, and I completely agree. What bothers me the most is, we look at these Hollywood movies that, you know, I would say, what, maybe 50%, 60% of them are done well, you know, made well, production-wise well. And then, of course, you have the other 40% that are just horrible. But then you look at the majority of, like, quote-unquote Christian movies, and the production is not that great. You know, Matt was saying something about, you know, they're not very creative. You know, it's not yeah. a good reflection of our Creator. And it's just, I think Matt said it too, is like, we look so dumb as Christians, as believers, when these movies are made. You know, me and my wife were watching a movie the other night, or flipping through the channels, and there's a movie called Kristen Mingle or something like that.
Oh, remember, yeah.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. Remember the Party of Five?
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, oh, this movie, I told her, I was like, I was reading some stuff about it on Facebook. It's supposed to be funny. So we started watching it. We didn't even get like 10 minutes through it because it was so just done horribly. The acting was bad. I was like, this is stupid. And we want something else. I was like, what is a Christian movie?
We want to watch the redeemed film.
We're rooting for the underdog. Here.
Next up, the Omega Code. Come on, guys.
Omega Code.
Exactly. You know, and the, you know, it's part two.
There you go. Thank you so much for calling
in. Here's an issue.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to be truly creative and give an actual reflection of humanity, you're going to have to show the bad with the good. And Christian movies don't want to show the actual bad. They want to show... I remember we were listening...
Because they think it's glorifying it.
We were listening to a book on tape, and I think... I can't remember who it was, but it was one of those Christian thriller writers. And the story wasn't bad, but I'll never forget... I totally checked out when the bad guy said, "You're toilet water to me." He said toilet water.
Yeah.
And I thought, if there's some psycho guy trying to kill me, I don't think toilet water is what's going to come out of his mouth.
Right.
And I understand it's not for kids. Right. I'm a grown-up. But honestly, it completely took me out of the story.
Because the character's not it's not real.
It's not real.
It's not realistic.
If you're going to be real, you have to show both sides
of it. Well, that brings up my next point, guys. I'm trying to sell this film that I've been working on for some time.
What is it?
It's about a small town, right? And there's this guy who's infecting everybody else with this thing called dance, right?
What?
But one boy, Brad, steps up to the plate and says, "Exactly, Baptist, this is for you, buddy. Oh. This is for you, Sam Swan, Baptist Convention."
Sam, did you just say the D word?
I know.
Oh,
okay.
Did.
So there's this culture in these kids, and they want to dance, but this one boy, Brad, stands up for what's right. It's called Foot Down, and he puts his foot down.
No, I feel like this
does,
is something already.
And he gets a culture going because he's a teenager. And you know how rational they are with their decision making and like
down?
With all their emotions and stuff. He keeps everything in check. He never once taps his foot even. I mean, it's like there's a scene where you think he might like overstep his bounds and start toe tapping. Nothing. Never. No.
So
he stands firm. He puts his foot down, and the whole town rallies around him
and stops dancing.
And they boycott dancing.
That sounds like a Baptist city to me.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Is that Centrifuge the city?
It takes place in Idaho, all right? It's going to sell millions.
Yeah, I got
foot
you,
down.
Sam.
I'm looking for investors. It's going
to
be great.
You know, we're not completely against dance. Just to make it clear, as long as you keep 1 foot on the ground, it's not considered dancing.
Oh, no, it's because in the late 90s,
Brad keeps both feet down.
In the late 90s, the SBC they embraced the term we like to call interpretive movement.
Interpretive movement.
There you go.
That's what it is.
But sadly,
choreography. We're allowed to do choreography. Yeah.
Calligraphy.
That's why I could be in show choir. I could be in show choir and not be a sinning Baptist.
Human videos. As long as it's I Can Only Imagine by Mercy.
But the first one, it has to be Arise My Love by New Song. That's the rule.
Let's take a couple more calls because it's just before 9. Phone lines are jammed. People want to talk about this. Static.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, guys. I was just listening to you guys about the whole 50 Shades of Grey stuff. I am a Christian, and I'm a filmmaker here in New Mexico, a product filmmaker, independent filmmaker. And I grew up in the 90s, late 80s, but like Steve-O said, we are the best billboards for this stuff.
Yeah,
I remember growing up and hearing, "Oh no, do not listen to Marilyn Manson" and all that stuff. And I think we single-handedly made that band a super band and made them sell millions of dollars worth of records. And because there was that controversy aspect that we just picked that and we sparked that curiosity even more and even more that we just wanted to just like I remember like. Secretly going and listening to it because, like, my parents were like, "You can't listen to that because that's the devil music." So, so what is that about? So, like, we just do that. We keep shooting ourselves in the foot this way. Like, we just and then as a filmmaker, man, when I watch movies that are from my fellow brothers in Christ, and I'm like, man, this was not good.
Right.
Like this. Come on, guys. Like, I mean, your message is good. As a believer, I agree with your message. I'm not going to disagree with there. But come on, let's put our best foot forward and show Hollywood that we can create good quality films as Christians. And I think we're getting there eventually. But it's just our track record has not been good. At all.
There's definitely a conversation that's happening now about people going, wait a second, why are our movies so sucky?
Yeah, definitely. Dude, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, that's good insight. And, you know, the thing that's crazy is how can you be creative yet also be honoring to God with the cleanliness, not the sanitation of it.
Right.
But I think part of the struggle, and this is, this just struck me as this guy that was speaking just called in, the filmmaker guy. Is how do we make sure that we don't use language that's not
right?
You know that the Bible talks about not using as believers. I mean, there's that line of, and it's kind of vague at this point as far as what we use creatively and something that is not cheesy and not cliche, but shows reality.
Right.
And you know, that's what I struggle with sometimes. You know, I hear somebody talk about being a believer, and then they drop some real foul language, and that, and because of me, I go, I don't know about that publicly.
Unsaved.
I mean,
unsaved.
If you want,
sorry, Sam.
Yeah, that's fine.
I apologize for bringing you the scone. out of anger.
Yeah, but by the way, thanks for that because that helped kind of calm some of the caffeine down. But I think that may be what some of the Christian filmmakers struggle with is trying to honor God, but at the same time create the reality when it's hard for us to express the reality without feeling like we're being dishonoring. And I'm just throwing that out. I'm not forming an opinion one way or the other. I think it's hard for us to draw that line.
Well, here's the thing. You look at a film like, and this isn't a Christian film in any way, shape, or form. Ridley Scott directed a movie called Gladiator.
Yeah.
And I will tell you right now, anytime I think of villains, of course, it's like you've got Darth Vader, you've got Agent Smith from the Matrix movies, and you've got
Gru.
Joaquin Phoenix,
Gru.
Who is... to me, like,
no, he
I just
is.
Get ill.
He's a sniveling little
I get
villain.
Ill.
Yeah.
But when you see a film like Gladiator, he didn't have to use foul language in order to be a villain.
Right.
It was his actions that portray him as a villain.
Right.
He was scum and you hated him. So I think there is a way to tactfully
do it
and portray the villain without going. And I think sometimes we as Christians, as far as filmmakers and with art, we are the ones that kind of give him the cliche lines. And that's why it feels so false, because it's phony. It's cliche and nobody cares about that.
Yeah.
We got to take a quick break. It's just before 9 o'clock.
Yeah,
coming
man.
Back, we're talking about what makes a movie "quote unquote" Christian.
Yeah.
50 Shades of Grey released a week ago, and the Christian response, if you will, released as well. It's called Old Fashioned, and one of them's made over $100 million. One of them's made a couple hundred thousand. Guess which is which? And we'll talk more about that on the way back. Some comments. If you can't call in, but you can chime in on Facebook, facebook.com/mystaticradio. It's a good discussion.
Yeah, man.
And read the article because it really gets you thinking.
Yeah. Facebook.com/mystaticradio. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Don't touch that dial. Listen to
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
I hope it's not crazy. Good news, it's not.
Yay, Albuquerque!
Yay, the only thing to report is long-term road construction up at San Mateo Boulevard and San Diego Avenue Northeast right now.
But you never know.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvert campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. It's 505-338-3669. Welcome! It is Team Awesome Morning Party, Steve-O, Mateo, and Pastor Sam Swan from
What's
the Baptist
up?
Convention of New Mexico.
What's happening?
Just talking about Christian movies and how much they suck.
Sam!
If you're just joining us, we're talking about Christian films. What makes a movie Christian? What sets a movie apart? Is it the script? Is it the internals? Is it the actors? A week ago, 50 Shades of Grey released in theaters, and so did the Christian response. It's called Old Fashioned. It's about an old-fashioned courtship between Amber and Clay. This dude is a guy who won't even go in her apartment. He's got to fix the sink. But before he can enter her home, he makes her leave. That's an actual scene in the film, because he made a promise to himself he'll never be in a lone house with a woman. He's saving himself for marriage. So that means I cannot be in this building with you. I'm saving myself for marriage. That doesn't imply you're a... What kind of message does that really imply? It's like, hey, girl, I'd love to come in your house, but I'm saving myself for marriage, and I know how attractive I am. You obviously want to sleep with me.
You are going to jump all over me if I walk into this building.
So if I walk in your home, you know, obviously it's going to go down.
Really, lady, you're the sinner, not me.
I'm protecting you.
It has nothing to do with me because I've already dealt with this.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
you see, we have
weird...
a different standard, lady. I can't come into your house because that means we're going to sleep together. Wow. That I didn't even think about it till just now. It's like, what does that convey? I understand.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're if I'm meeting with Celeste or Michelle here, there's windows everywhere. First of all, and second,
there are precautions to protect yourself.
Yeah.
To protect.
I'm in management here.
Rumors, yeah. Exactly.
There are times where we have to have one-on-one conversations.
It just makes good sense to be in a room with a door. I mean, with a window.
Yes.
Because if you have to have the door closed,
absolutely.
You have a confidential conversation.
Yeah.
Pastors and staff folks do that all the time.
Yeah.
They should.
Yeah.
When was the last time you jumped out a window,
son? Man.
Don't do it.
I won't.
Hey, we got a great counterpoint.
Oh, good. Phone lines are already jamming up. So 505-338-3700 if you'd like to get a comment in. We're talking about Christian films. What make them Christian? Is it the theology behind it? Is it the actors? But it seems like in today's... To give you an idea of where we started from, the idea came from an article, which we posted, on why Christian movies are so bad, apparently, according to mainstream culture. They say the end result is that a Christian product seems like a knockoff, cheap alternative. So we thought we'd get your thoughts on that. Christian films, what makes them a Christian film? 505-338-3700.
We got some great comments.
Or facebook.com/mystaticradio.
Nicole says, hey, Static, so I was just wondering if any of y'all have actually seen Old Fashioned. Me and my husband went to see it, and to be completely honest, it was refreshing. Most Christian movies are cliche, and we're expected to like it just because it's labeled as Christian, but not this one. We didn't think it was cliche. Even my husband, who doesn't really enjoy romantic comedies, enjoyed it. It's funny, and the characters are real and raw. They have a past, and they don't deal with everything by just saying that Jesus makes it all better. They have to deal with guilt and the aftermath of their previous choices. Also, the script wasn't actually written in response to 50 Shades. It was written prior to 50 Shades, and then a producer picked it up and started the head-to-head with 50 Shades thing.
Okay.
I go to college and have actually had a good chance to share the gospel when someone asked if I went to see 50 Shades of Grey, and I said no, actually I went to see Old Fashioned. They asked what it was about, and I got to tell them about the storyline, which led to sharing Jesus and his story.
Nice.
That's good.
All right.
Yeah. And we actually, I don't think any of us have actually said don't go see Old Fashioned.
Yeah, not at all. We'd love your thoughts.
We just brought up a question, but that's a very good point that she makes.
It's called radio, and we do have to ask questions.
We like to talk.
I think at some point I said don't go see it because I think it's stupid.
Oh, really?
No, I didn't say
I'm like,
because that would be something you would say.
Static.
Yeah, I had to chime in one last time, man. I think the subject is awesome. I'm very passionate about it. As far as what is Christian, I mean, I think we can use Static Radio as the prime example. It's like, just because you don't do it the same way as another radio station does, it's like you have the ultimate same goal, and that's to bring people to Christ. And I think that's what separates Static from a lot of other ones, is because it's not, you have every genre of whatever you need, and it's like you guys use your creative genius to like reach out to just anyone, dude. They don't have to be a believer, or they can just be completely, you know, no belief in Christ at all, and they have something for everything, whether they just like good music. Yeah. I think so many people, like, they think, oh, just because, I don't know, they think everything has to be Christianized or it's Christian. Like, just because there's a Tyler Perry movie, all of a sudden every Tyler Perry movie's got to be Christian.
Which, by the way, he was in Gone Girl. Everybody go see that. Dude. I mean, Tyler Perry, Christian.
Steve-o.
Oh, no? No, that's not the same?
Don't
see that.
And then it's not like, and then it's like,
don't see it unless you're going to flip out.
Yeah.
You're going to be, you need to be prepared to flip out.
No idea in that film whatsoever.
And then it's like, it's just because like Shia LaBeouf says he's Christian out now, every movie he makes is going to be Christian now.
Transformers 2, like, definitely not a Christian film.
Dude. It's crazy. And then I wanted to give you you know what you should totally name your plot for your movie, is you can name it like Thou Foot Art Loose for Christ.
Oh, man.
Yes. For the plot of your movie.
See,
you know,
that's what I'm talking
awesome.
About. Thank you, Derek.
That was wow.
You're welcome, Derek. Dude, awesome. You guys have a great weekend.
You too, man.
Do you know what I heard in all of that?
Huh. What?
We have creative genius.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to clarify. I wouldn't call it genius. Something else. But not genius.
Yeah.
What's just genius. Short of genius?
Maybe Sam.
Near
genius over there.
Well, you know what? The article that spawned this conversation, I think, said it well, that the idea isn't problematic that Christians borrow ideas from Hollywood and put their own spin on them. Every film genre does this. But given the Christian doctrine of creation, it's certainly surprising that so many Christian filmmakers and artists in general would choose to mimic someone else's vision rather than cultivate their own. That spoke volumes to me from that article, because it was like, man, it does feel like, and where there is no vision, the people perish. So that's probably why your movies are perishing as well. If you don't have an original concept or idea, chances are, yeah, it's just going to be that knockoff.
Kathy says, I think the phrase, nobody really likes a poorly made shoe, about sums it up. A Christian movie does not have to bash you over the head with judgment and preaching, but too often they do. They are too often trite, boring, cliche-ridden, and lacking in any humor or entertainment. The acting is often stilted. The lines seem forced. I have found the same to be true many times in Christian novels as well. Perhaps part of the problem is money. Producers and promoters not putting enough money into the project to make it work.
Mm.
That's part. And here's the thing. A lot of this, because it's the entertainment business, it does boil down to money.
Yes, it does.
Tell me something real quick. If you were a network, or not a network, if you were a movie studio executive, and you knew there was a market out there for a faith-based film, but a creator came to you, and he said, hey, I've got this great idea, and you read it, and it was a solid script, but it had some language in it, and it really did a great job of showing the bad and the good, you know, but then you are going to invest $20 million to $50 million dollars in this movie.
Right.
And then you say to yourself, wait a second, if this movie has cuss words in it, this demographic,
we can't put the dove on it, because there's that actual dove-approved,
right.
Like, yeah.
Well, he's going to say, wait a second. Okay, this is a great movie. This is solid. Maybe the studio exec's a Christian even. And he's like, this really presents the gospel in an incredible way. But I can't spend $50 million on a flop or I'm going to get fired and I'm not going to be able to feed my family.
Yeah.
Then you're going to say, we got to take the language out because the Christian market's not going to accept this because they're going to say it's not godly enough.
Yeah, and that's one executive who says, we got to remove this. And then the next executive says, hey, man, I like that, but this one scene, it kind of seemed a little risque. If we could tone this back. And then the next executive.
It's like, remember who we're talking to, guys. They don't like cussing. They don't like violence. They don't like this. And they're not going to support it. You're not going to get, you know, the whatever people behind it. And then we're going to have a flop on our hands.
Yeah. And what sucks is on the flip side, you see the world going, hey guys, there's a market for this. You know what would be a great movie? Noah.
Yeah.
When there isn't that Christian aspect and there isn't that guy that goes, well, wait a minute, guys, rock monsters for angels are
sure. Yeah. Yeah.
How much should Noah
You know, make? You know what's amazing to me is I remember when The Passion of the Christ came out and they, you know, Gibson couldn't get anybody else to do it, so he went through the churches.
Yeah.
And it Hollywood, since then, any movie that has sort of a theme has targeted the churches to market.
Absolutely.
Why? Because they know it'll make money.
Dude, and you're talking about a film. Sorry.
No, you're fine. I was going to say, it just comes down to the fact that they're in it to make profit.
Of course they are. But you talk about those films and bringing up Passion of the Christ. My 11-year-old has not seen that film.
It's graphic.
It is graphic. We were talking about The Walking Dead earlier and the gore and the blood and graphic. And I understand. I mean, they wanted to show like what our Savior endured for me. Like, this is what Jesus went through for me. And this is still just the film version.
Yeah.
But I remember when it came out, Focus on the Family, 5 out of 5 stars for family friendliness, and there's no way.
It was
no
not family
way.
Friendly, because I've done some study on that, and I've read some graphic description of what took place at crucifixions and the floggings and all of that stuff like that. So I wasn't surprised by the depiction of it, but it lasted so long that even during the movie itself, I just remember thinking, okay, it's just a movie presentation of what actually happened, but maybe God used that to kind of remind me of the great sacrifice that Jesus paid. But even after a little while, because it seemed like it went on for a long time, longer than it, I felt like it
oh,
went
it was
longer
like
than it should
of
have.
Return of the King, bro.
Because I was like, this is,
yeah.
I've seen enough. I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah.
It was tough. It was tough to watch.
Almost browbeating. Almost. Yeah. Paul in Houston chimed in and said, first things first, I'm the realist. I'm of the opinion that there's no such thing as a Christian movie.
Yeah.
That's a label used to target or dismiss a work or audience, in his humble opinion.
Good
Having
point.
Said that, quote-unquote Christian movies do not resonate as well because they aren't as relatable to a secular world and are much more heavy-handed in their message. The moral of the story is held far above the telling of the story.
Uh-huh.
There are many factors that may contribute to this, such as budget, available resources, etc. What always gets lost in this discussion is the very fact that every story is or has elements of salvation and or redemption, even if it's in a cautionary tale capacity. True, some stories make it harder or more unpleasant to get to those points because of violence, language, or sex, and therefore it could be said not worth the time. But the same can be said for a hammy or even patronizing story because it treats the audience as not smart and in a sense seemingly talks down to the audience.
Yeah, I got a text from Matt Sellers who said kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Asked the same question. What makes a movie
what is
Christian?
That?
Can a movie get saved? No, absolutely not.
Well, what makes a song a Christian song?
Exactly.
A Christian artist. Because for those in the industry, you know that the Christian, this is a Christian band.
Yeah.
That's a label. Yeah. It's like a country band. What makes that a country artist? Well, he's got a country label. That dude's wearing a cowboy hat and he's kind of twangy.
Right.
So therefore, it's okay. So that dude is on tour with Third Day. He's on Provident and that's what makes a Christian.
Right.
You know? He just wrote a song about his wife, but don't tell anybody. We're using it for worship.
Yeah, yeah. And the idea about a thread of redemption being throughout lots of different movies.
Yeah.
Because they show good and bad, or good and evil, or however you want to classify it. And then there's a point of redemption, and there's somebody gets, their life gets resolved, or that problem disappears, or whatever. So yeah, it is. We have to be careful with labels. We're bad about labels.
Everybody is.
Easy for us. Yeah, everybody does. Not just believers, but everybody labels something. We like the sound bite and because that's easy. We don't have to deal with the deeper complexities of the issue if we just sound bite it or give it a label, and then that puts it in a category already for us, and then we don't have to deal with it anymore.
Man, my personal favorite Christian film of all time, honestly, has to be the story of a father and a son, and the father ended up walking away from his faith, from his everything, from his livelihood, and the son refused to give up on him. And it's this incredible trilogy, so much so that at the end, like, the son, even though his dad was fully backslidden and awful and all these terrible things, and it killed a bunch of kids at one point, like, it was really bad. At the end, his father comes back to the faith,
wait a second,
and is redeemed. It's the most incredible story of redemption I've ever seen in my life. It's called Return of the Jedi.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Star Trek.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think Star Wars as a whole is trying to go super meta with redemption because then they released the prequels.
Oh, no.
And everybody was sad.
Yeah.
So now
everybody was backslidden after that.
J.J. Abrams said, we're going to redeem this thing.
Yeah.
We're going to bring it back.
You know, not to be funny, I mean that wholeheartedly for me, obviously, I have this ginormous, and everybody mocks and makes fun, I have this ginormous Darth Vader tattoo. I love the character of Darth Vader.
He's a great
character.
I really
do. It's
thought out and planned.
Absolutely.
And
the son refused to give up on him.
Yeah.
He is a Jedi like his father before him. Yeah. And he throws down his lightsaber and Emperor Satan, okay, tries to persuade the son. But he won't relent. He won't give up. He's Luke freaking Skywalker. So there you go.
Paul just said,
forces by the Holy Spirit, he was.
That's right. Static.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm loving this morning's topic. It is really awesome. I think one thing, and I might have missed part of the conversation, y'all might have already talked about it, but we need to separate what we consider family-friendly from Christian. They need to be two separate things.
Boom,
great point. Have a Christian film that may have, you know, like we said, maybe some small amount of language, maybe something that, you know, some people would find questionable, but if it points towards Christ, that makes it Christian. Mm. Whereas if family-friendly could have absolutely nothing to do with Christian whatsoever, it's just good for your kids, you know?
You, my friend, have just opened up an incredible opportunity.
Yeah.
Good work.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, guys.
All right, have a great day.
Christopher says sort of the same thing on Facebook. He says, I think another problem is that Christian movie has also become synonymous with family-friendly.
Mm.
Like, have these people actually ever read the Bible? That thing is intense. We play it so safe, not taking any creative risks, afraid of what the Christian community will think, instead of addressing and dealing with real struggles and hurts. During the Renaissance and before, Christian artists were the best in the world, pulling inspiration from life, the Word, and the world around them. But we've lost that mantle and have exchanged it for being safe. There seems to be no real heart in a Christian movie, unlike the Sistine Chapel, the Statue of David, Da Vinci's Last Supper, etc. We stopped taking risks.
You know what? The funny thing is that my comment was about to be the heart behind it and having heart, because parents, the idea of family friendly or safe, I'll tell you right now, you know who's nailing it? Disney. I'm trying to remember the last Pixar film I saw where I didn't bawl my brains out, because those are all heart.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? You could take your kid to a quote-unquote family-friendly movie like Big Hero 6, and then why can't we as parents instill Christ? It doesn't have to be the cheesy Christian story, if you will, Christian movie. There are so many redemptive themes throughout.
Oh, man.
I mean, you look at Toy Story, family. For us, Meet the Robinsons is one of my personal favorites because it's all about family and the importance of family.
Yeah, yeah.
And that tugs at the heart because it's an honest story. And in turn, we can point people to Jesus through these. You know, without being schmaltzy and cheesy, there's more heart in one freaking Pixar movie than all the Christian films combined.
But aren't we still boycotting Disney?
Oh, crap.
No.
Right. Never mind.
No.
Sorry, forget what I just said.
We're good? Man. We gave it the boycott in the 90s.
All right. Ah, 90s are over,
okay,
man.
90s are over. Wait, my bad.
When they stopped making movies like Black Cauldron and started making movies.
Dude, Black Cauldron was awesome!
Get out.
It was crazy!
Get out.
My wife and I went to go see that. That came out when I was in college, which tells you how long ago
I still have nightmares about that movie.
And we walked out of there going, I can't believe that was a Disney movie.
Right.
That was nuts.
that had to be one of the worst movies I've ever seen. But I'm sorry. But you're right, man. Pixar has created some incredible. And then when Lasseter left, kind of Pixar and Disney kind of did that friendly merger instead of that contractual merger that they had earlier. They have produced some really great stories.
Big Hero 6 was moving.
That is an incredible movie.
Amen. It was.
Comes out on Blu-ray Tuesday. That's what I'm buying.
You got Brotherly Love.
Oh my gosh.
Sacrifice.
Yes.
I mean, it's crazy.
And think about Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
When they are fixing to, think they're going to get burned in that incinerator? I can't even talk about it right now. I'm getting goosebumps. And they reach out for each other to hold each other's hands.
I
am 51 years old. And I almost boo-hooed
because
don't these animated toys that aren't real were fixing to die, and they love each other, and they're grabbing each other's hands. I was like, Brenda, give me a Kleenex.
Yeah, dude.
Not just one, sweetie. I need the whole package.
My toys have been telling me since I was a kid that they were all friends. Do y'all not do that?
My toys have been talking to me forever.
I couldn't sleep a lot when I was
we
a kid.
We see everything.
Oh, my toys wouldn't let me sleep. It was terrifying.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Static.
I need a moment.
I know. Right?
Hello.
Welcome.
You're on the air.
Hello. Are you there?
It's me.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. It's so hard to know. Again.
Hi, welcome.
I have a question. Who is this Christian audience that's trying to be reached? Aren't we just going to the movies like everybody else to be entertained?
Yeah.
Well, why do we need special marketing? We just want to go see a good movie and be, have some fun. Right. I don't mind being challenged. I don't mind leaving a theater, thinking about stuff. I just don't want to leave feeling like I need a bath or, something like that. So we just want good movies, right?
Yeah. I like that.
Good call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I think a lot of people wanted to be able, they want something labeled safe so they don't have to think about it.
Right.
And I haven't really understood that. I have never understood it until I moved here and I was with a family most of the time.
Yeah.
Because now I get it.
Yeah.
Now I totally see why parents, it seems so much easier to just be able to say, does it say family friendly? Okay, good. Just let them watch it.
Yeah.
Because then it gives you an opportunity to not think about something.
Right.
But is that good?
Yeah.
Because on the flip side, I'll tell you right now, my son Brody, he's 2 years old, and if you sing the opening note of VeggieTales, he knows every word to that theme song. And I absolutely love VeggieTales.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. The themes, everything about it. My kid's a little weird in that his favorite character on the show is Bob the Tomato.
That's okay.
Which is kind of odd.
Everybody's a little different.
I don't get that. It's supposed to be Larry.
I don't have any hands.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Sam, stop. For some reason, he just loves Bob. Maybe he loves the color red.
Maybe so.
But there is something about that. It's safe, and you're right. I can know that no matter what.
I can trust.
Because you can't trust everything you see on the Disney Channel or the ABC Family.
Or Nickelodeon or whatever, yeah.
And I think that goes, too, for Christian. That's Christian market in general.
Yeah.
People want to be able to just say, boom. And not worry about it, not think. But the problem with that is when we do that for too long, say we do that for, 50 years or so, especially when it comes to entertainment, maybe 30 years, maybe 40 years, then you get yourself in a situation where all of your art, quote unquote, is a watered down version of something else.
Look
where we are.
Or because it has a label of Christian, we trust it.
Implicitly.
And it's got bad theology.
Amen.
And it's got bad theology.
Oh, yeah.
We have to be very careful about it. Listen, some of the most favorite worship songs, I stop singing.
Right.
Because, the church may be singing them, but I'm not singing them with them because I'm like, this song has terrible theology.
There were a handful of artists/songs that immediately popped in my mind that I just had to bite my tongue on because they're being played on
your family
friendly radio station.
I'm not going to say any names. But
Waverly. Oh, man.
Yeah. What a horrible band.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I'm telling you guys, man. First of all, co-written by a Canadian, so you know you can't trust that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's got A in there every other word.
Static!
Praise God, eh?
Co-written.
You're on the air.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Oh, hey. I'm really loving the conversation.
Hey, thank you.
Good.
I'm super passionate about this topic because I'm really into movies, but I'm also into reading and writing, and it's completely applicable to books, too.
What about
the same problem?
What about arithmetic? You into arithmetic?
Not at all.
Good.
Good for you.
Oh, man. I mean, if you go to a Christian section at a bookstore, right, all you see are what I call bonnet books. It's all, like, historical fiction, Western stuff, like with the women with the poofy dresses wearing bonnets. And it's like, that bonnet feeds books to a very specific demographic.
Yeah.
And I think the problem is that when Christians make movies or Christians write books, they're writing them for Christians. And that's fine, but it depends on what your goal is. And I kind of consider it a pastoral perspective or a missionary perspective.
Mm.
And you see stuff written for Christians. You see the pastoral perspective, but I think we've lost the missionary one.
Dude,
we don't know how to.
That's a home run. That's a grand slam.
What is your name?
We are circling the bases right now.
What's your name?
Rochelle.
Rochelle. Rochelle.
Write it down.
Write it down, Rochelle. She's allowed to call in whenever she wants.
Outstanding.
Thank you, Rochelle.
Rochelle, that was very, very good insight.
Well articulated.
Absolutely.
And that's it. The pastoral and the missionary.
There is nothing wrong with writing stuff targeted to Christians, as long as we also, as the church, will also produce stuff or continue to get the message to proclaim the gospel to those, to engage the culture, to
share with them. Are we right now, are we inventing a Christian rating system? Here's the thing. You could have a family-friendly rating, FF, or you could just have, like, a Christian movie, and then it could be normal, and it could totally be from, like, missionary-type, you know, perspective or whatever.
It
could happen.
There's a part of us. There's a part of us that has.
We got this, dude.
In an effort to try to protect ourselves from the big bad world, we have stopped doing missionary efforts. In other ways. Rochelle, that was outstanding. Thank you for that phone call,
Pastor. Because you know, I will say this: there are some very fantastic Christian authors that can do both. I thought of Stephen Lawhead. I thought of Ted Decker. There are those that can do works of fiction well. And I mean, Stephen Lawhead is an incredible writer, and I love just about anything that guy touches is great.
Yeah.
And so there's a way to do it. She's right. It doesn't have to be the bonnet book, if you will. You know.
I love the way she said that.
Yeah, dude. Absolutely.
Because she's right. I see bonnets on every single one of those.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Follow that up.
Beautiful.
I'm just kidding. Static, hello.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to follow that up.
Yo!
Rising to the task.
There you go.
Do it.
Okay. Here, I'm just going to keep it as real as possible.
Yes.
No cuss words.
I'm thinking like every other Christian couple is thinking. When it comes out in DVD, we're getting the movie and sending the kids off to their friends.
Wait, which one? Old Fashioned?
Shades of Grey.
You're talking about Old Fashioned?
Poor boy. You go home.
You need
it.
Dude, it's too creepy to watch it in the theater, so you know what I mean?
It's too creepy to watch at all.
Oh, it'll spice a lot of stuff up.
Oh, my God.
All right, I love you guys.
I love you, man.
And then there's that guy who just throws a grenade.
You call whatever you want,
boom,
buddy.
Yeah, and man. Just steps
here's,
back.
Here's
and
something.
Somebody else call to follow that, please.
Here's something a little awesome. Weird about the whole situation.
Yeah.
I have some friends that go to the gym that actually went to see the movie.
Okay.
And they also watch a show called Dexter. And it's about a serial killer that kills other serial killers.
Here's
the thing.
That show
a Showtime show. So it's got like graphic violence, tons of language, nudity, the whole shebang. And then I start hearing them say how it wasn't even as bad as Dexter.
Mm.
And then I was like, I've seen every episode
of
Dexter.
That show. Christian.
That was a Waverly show that we would watch in the van, and I can't condone it.
No wonder you guys broke up.
Yeah.
Sam.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Wow. Kick him while he's down.
Matt.
Kick him while
he's down. Matt, you know I love you, bro.
No. Sam Swan.
It's cool, Sam. You put it out there, so now you've convinced the vast majority of the population that is why we broke up, so that's cool.
That's not true.
Your words are not heavy, Sam.
I was just making a joke.
They carry weight.
My words don't carry any weight. Nobody listens to me.
Anyway.
My children don't even listen to me.
It stuck out to me. Because anytime something like this happens, we go, like earlier we were talking about our first reactions are always panic.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like personally, and the church as a whole. Panic!
Yeah. Right.
There's a movie coming out with sex in it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's going to destroy our culture because our culture's great right now, right? So it's going to destroy it. You know?
Yeah.
And then I'm hearing from people that saw the movie, it's not even bad as this show that I've seen.
Yeah.
And it was like. It was like maybe we kind of like overreacted.
I have plenty of friends. Well,
not condoning it.
And I don't think it's an overreaction. I think we should abstain from things like that. But it goes to show
where we can sometimes sway and go, oh, well, 50 Shades of Grey, no, but did you see the latest episode of Game of Thrones?
Right.
Which I have never seen for that reason.
Is not the word. I'm looking for, we went to an extreme.
Yes.
There's a difference in saying,
pick and choose.
There's a difference in saying, don't see it because it's not really what we're about.
Right.
As opposed to, don't see it because it's tearing our culture apart.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
There was an article this week that I just, and forgive me, I don't remember which Christian website it was, but it was talking about how 50 Shades of Grey was more damaging to us as a world than ISIS.
And that is stupid. And there are words. There are real words.
Said that?
Yeah.
It's a real
there are article. Words that we can't use on the radio for
right.
stuff like that.
For stuff like that, because that is coming from our Christian community. Yeah. A believer. Yeah, and it was an article talking about that, how it's more damaging. Now, here's the thing. Maybe his heart was in the right place, and I understand what he's saying, because it's the idea of sex in our culture and destroying marriages and the value of that God has placed upon sex, because obviously God created it. It's an extraordinary thing between a husband and a wife.
Absolutely.
And so is it taking that, is it trying to remove that and belittle it in our culture? Absolutely. But to go on record and say that 50 Shades of Grey is more damaging than ISIS to our culture.
That's a stretch.
Like, ISIS. Oh my gosh. Shut your mouth. Shut
please,
your mouth.
Please don't talk out loud, please. Keep it to
please
yourself.
Please stop.
You cannot compare
21 Christians
execution
being right.
of 21 yeah. believers
right.
to a movie.
No.
You can't do that.
No.
Back to the, I don't even want to say anything else about that, because I think that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, right.
But I want to go back to something you were saying, Teo. That blog that I told you about, that friend of mine, Alan Reed, he also put in here in his little thing. He said, he's talking about 50 Shades, and he said, don't do these things. Instead, the first thing he says, take a deep breath, or as Aaron Rodgers told the Packers, relax.
Mm.
50 Shades is not a wholesome movie, but it will not bring down the kingdom of God.
Amen.
In a world of social media, everything seems to be a crisis, which is where I live.
Yeah.
My default is
panic. Oh, yeah, of course.
Let's act like God is sovereign, because he is.
Yeah.
And then he goes on and says things that we can do.
Right.
Again, I don't want to read the whole thing. Google Alvin Reed and read his blog, what his take on what it's titled, What to Do About 50 Shades, and read what he has to say. It's good stuff. But the point is, we've got to stop overreacting to stuff. And that's funny coming from me. I know if my wife were hearing this, she would be laughing right now. Because we even talked about this last night. My default is panic. Yeah. It is complete panic.
Yeah.
And then she takes a breath and goes, wait a minute. And I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. It's going
to
be good.
Something that needs to be ingrained into the hearts and attitudes of Christians is this. God's word tells us that we are not given to a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
Yeah.
So we can use our brain.
Yeah.
We can take a step back and realize, you're right, this too will not destroy the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
But in that, we have been given a spirit of power.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's, wow. I mean, creator of the universe, love, so we can have a discussion about this without freaking out, and a sound mind. We can use our brain. We can use knowledge. We can love the Lord our God with all of our mind and have dialogue about this without...
No, brain is science, and I'm not using it.
50 Shades of Grey is worse than terrorism, because that's just stupid.
Doug sent us a really interesting article. This comes from Dr. Drew, who is the guy from Loveline, right, Doug?
Yeah.
Loveline. So, no stranger to sexual topics on Loveline.
Right.
And he wrote an article. He says, where is this from? Washington's top news, and this is, it quotes Dr. Drew as saying, why women would pick this up as any sort of substitute for intimacy or any sort of model for a reasonable relationship, I find just sort of disturbing.
Mm.
Maybe I have no business commenting on how women approach their fantasy life. Indeed, I don't. But as I look at this as a clinician, the idea that women look at this relationship as anything other than absolute categorical profound pathology is more than I can imagine.
Wow.
He says, I can't emphasize enough the disturbing quality of this. And it just goes on. He's just kind of like, says it's pathological and poorly written.
Wow.
You know, so he's just breaking it down. And that's the dude from Loveline.
Right.
That's all they talk about.
Well, you know, man, this topic will not go away. Yep. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio if you'd like to chime in. I wish we weren't out of show. I'm pretty bummed.
Yeah.
It's been a great topic. Man, I want to thank every single person who has called in today because it's been an amazing show.
Great discussion.
If you missed any part of it.
And the comments on Facebook, too. Yeah.
Download the podcast. It's free.
It's free.
MyStaticRadio.com/mornings. Chat on Facebook.
He's for
free. His comment, best Christian movie ever, Signs.
Yes.
That's a good comment, bro.
Yes. And you know what, guys? Don't use your brain because brain is science and science is evil.
Oh, man.
So I think full circle with that, it's important to say
brain rhymes with pain and we don't like either.
Yes.
There you go.
Brains or pain?
No, we don't like using our brains and we don't like pain in Christianity. So let's just stay in our
I don't like using my brain because it causes pain.
Okay.
See, lots of strain.
Oh, gosh.
And it can cause a migraine.
Speaking of the strain on FX.
And I think it might rain.
No. The strain.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go catch a plane.
Okay, gosh. All right. That's it for us. We're on
There's got to be one every Friday.
It is Friday. Enjoy it, man. Middays with Mitch up next.
Yeah.
You can take that. Yeah. Enjoy it. And keep the discussion
Follow this,
going,
Mitch.
Man.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. The discussion continues there. And, of course, the podcast. MyStaticRadio.com/mornings. Thanks again.
We appreciate you guys participating on Facebook and calling in. Lots of great phone calls.
Yeah.
I think Rochelle nailed it.
Booyah.
Man, she did.
That's it for us. It is Team Awesome Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static.